Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Paul Perillo.
My name is, hi, my name is, hi, the show is
PFW in progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in progress. My name is Mr. Liff, I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show, none can come close. Oh, how rude of me, let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something, oh wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart, sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is.
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is. Hi, my name is. Hi, the show is.
PFW in progress.
And Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium. Oh my God, I woke up this morning. It was -5 on my app. You don't say thermometer anymore. You just say on my app.
Well, they don't, but yeah, that's okay. But that's what Andy and I suffered through, Freddie. It was cold.
Suffered.
But nothing cold like the listeners were suffering through having to listen to these two clowns.
Actually, a lot of people said they were very good shows.
Of course they did.
Not what I've heard.
That's not what I heard.
That's not the intel I'm getting.
Yeah.
Nobody wrote into our show to say that.
All pro receiver Julio Jones.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well.
Anyway.
Although Eric did crack me up by saying that you and I got in a fight 5 minutes on the phone.
Well, as you can tell, the A gaps are back and from the combine.
A gaps.
So we've got a lot to talk about, all combine draft related and whatever else you want, because this is always emailer and caller driven. But there's so much stuff that these guys want to get off their chest. Out there for the week with Bob Soucy and Jackie Britton. It sounds like you guys were having a good time, as well as producing a lot of great content. Really, really good stuff last week. Very, very good job.
You know, thank you, Fred. You know I always like to blow smoke up my own ass, but yes. I literally think this was our best combine coverage.
I do, too.
Bob Soucy was a very productive addition
yep.
to the cast.
He was.
Yep. And I thought I was happy with the way we did.
The way we did, yeah. I thought it was good.
I write good too.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not promising that. As I go back and read.
Yeah,
stuff.
Don't read them closely because I can only imagine how many typos I had. But, I know I called Todd Crean cream.
Yeah,
in one of my
cream.
They Andy fixed like the day. Andy fixed it the next day.
I wouldn't
day.
Have noticed had he not bolded it.
It was, but it was a steady stream of content. It was good stuff. Video. Also, the guys here, you know, put up the mock draft stuff from
yep.
all the different experts. So, I mean, if you were looking for combine draft stuff from a Patriots angle, my God, I hope we satisfied you. I don't know.
And yeah. continue to read it. I know not everybody read everything from last week, and I know Chris put together a, in case you missed it, with
right.
everything. And go to that page. You might have missed some stuff the first time through, because there's a lot buried, even in the 2,000 words on guards or whatever that we put up. There's little tidbits, you know, skim through those.
Yeah, you can skim. You know, we're not going to test you on it later. There is some good anecdotes within some of the positional.
Don't test me on the stuff I wrote.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm sure our listeners are on the edge of the seat waiting to hear your impressions. You know, every year you come back and there's a guy that fell off your board or a guy that rose up your board. Tell us what happened.
Did you fall in love with anybody, first of all?
Interestingly, I didn't fall in love with anybody so much for what he did, but Nate Orchard, who had, I think it's 18.5 sacks last year for Utah. Every offensive lineman I talked to, and one of the big questions these days is who's the best guy you either blocked or covered or when it, whatever. And Nate Orchard got a lot of votes for that. And then as Paul wrote, some comparisons for him to Rob Ninkovich. So Nate Orchard is, I'm not saying he's a Patriot, I'm not saying anything, just an intriguing guy.
He could be the apple of your eye.
And a very impressive guy.
D-end or linebacker?
That's the problem.
I don't know what is Rob Ninkovich.
But that's the problem with a lot of the edge guys is that there are a lot of different guys. So I would say it's deep in terms of there are numbers. But there aren't a lot of guys that you say, okay, I know this guy can do this.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of different guys that are various shapes and sizes. Some really light guys at the top of the list, like 235, 240, 245 pounds.
Bruce Irvin-esque.
Mike really Mayock, small guys.
Mike Mayock doesn't Screw call Mike them tweeners. Mayock. He calls them versatile.
I call him a douche.
Oh, now, that's not nice.
No, you know what? I don't even blame him. I think some of it is coming from the people that are packaging
him.
Yeah, it's
not him.
I actually don't think it's him. I think it's the people that are trying to market him for NFL Network and create a cottage industry.
He's their expert.
I think they feel like they sort of fall behind McShay and Kuiper. Kuiper's obviously the godfather. Yep. And even McShay has elevated himself to that level. I think they're trying to turn him almost like a promoter in boxing. They're managing it to make sure he's the glory.
Yeah, and I would say with Orchard, he was a very impressive guy, interesting story, and I don't know every detail of his background, but he ended up being, I don't know if he was adopted officially, but he ended up being raised by Guardians, who he ended up, during his college career, he took their name. The Orchard name is from his Guardians.
Oh, okay.
Just talked about like being, you know, in his teens, early teens, 13, 14, just constantly running away from home and being a real problem and having a hard time settling down. But
from those people?
This is when he was with his Guardians, I believe. Again, some of my details might not be exactly right. You know, you're trying to play catch up on 300 guys and you're listening to stories and you're running back and you're trying to put all the quotes together from some of the stuff that you knew, some you didn't. This guy, I had a little bit of preparation because, as Andy said, the 18 and a half sacks, the godfather, the real godfather, Gil Brandt, actually came over to the table and said, you know, make sure that Nate tells you about his 18 sacks last year or something like that. He always has like those little comments with all his best friends at the draft. But he was a very impressive guy to listen to.
Gil Brandt?
I knew he was going to do that. I felt it coming.
Just, to Andy's point of when you make these snap judgments on guys and you decide based on the way they talk, there were very few guys that I talked to during the 4 days that I didn't like their comportment. Almost everybody, I thought, came across pretty well. There were some guys that were less believable than others. You know, right at the top, Jameis Winston, I thought, came across. Andy immediately said, that's Cam Newton.
Yeah, and he's a con artist. He's got the smile. He's got the physical tools, but he's a con artist.
It's interesting you say that because I was watching him on a little thing he did with Mariucci.
Very impressive.
And I was going to say, he came across really well there.
That's what con artists do.
Well, but not
clean
just
up nice.
But not just, you know, nice personality, but very smart. On top of the questions, very quick to answer, upbeat attitude. I mean, if I just knew him from that, I'd be like, this guy's going
to
make it.
You have to take him. And in a few years, you'll say, he's fine, but he's not a franchise quarterback. He's a con artist.
Yeah, I don't know about playing.
Con artist.
Now, he might be able to play. Like, Cam Newton took that con artist, and he can play. I mean, I don't know if he's a star, but he obviously can play.
Sure.
So if Jameis Winston plays like Cam Newton did, maybe some of the con artist stuff will be less important 5 years from now. Like it is with, you know, I don't think that Carolina's sitting there kicking themselves over taking
Cam
Newton.
No, but you're also wondering, do I want to invest $125 million into this guy as my franchise quarterback? And is this, you have him and you're stuck with him because you can't do any better, but is he good enough? And it's that weird dynamic.
And I was listening to Sirius, Pat Curran was talking to Gil Brandt and a couple other, Jim Miller, and they were saying about the quarterbacks that, you know, Mariota and Winston, and then everyone else. And it wasn't a very good class at all.
It's a terrible class of quarterbacks. Yeah,
I actually don't think those two are all that good.
The throwing was just horrendous.
Well, those two threw really well.
Yeah.
But everybody else was,
But even those two, I think.
Hundley is probably the third?
Yeah, probably.
He didn't have a great.
I think those guys are. No, I don't even think those – I don't think Mariota's a lock to be a great NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't think – and I don't think he's as good as RG3 coming out. So I think it pales in comparison to a lot of QB classes. But
by all accounts, Winston is going to go number one. I did want to – Eric and I were talking about this upstairs. You probably saw it, Fred. I think Winston got taken out of context and railroaded a little bit in the quote about he's planning on winning the Super Bowl next year and he's competing with Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Right.
That quote was in relation to a question about him competing with Mariota for the number one spot and those two sort of going at it. And he was talking about, I'm not competing with him. I'm competing with professional quarterbacks. I am competing with to win the Super Bowl next year. He didn't, it wasn't a cocky a-hole thing. He was saying, no, I'm competing to be one of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the league, and I'm competing to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, the way it was portrayed in tweets and yes. in stories I read was that he comes to the podium and says, better pick me because I'm going to win the Super Bowl right. next year.
Yeah, that's not what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very much
I don't want to defend him because I do think he's a con artist, but that actual part, he got screwed by the media more than he was screwing the media.
And the part that sort of rubbed me the wrong way more with Winston. Now, Winston had the typical number one quarterback kind of entourage around him. There was an enormous press gathering for his press conference. Mariota, too. Different days, by the way. Winston, with the shoulder problem, evidently got held up. But I don't know if you saw some of the stuff on set when you said the Mariucci thing, but I think he was on with the ESPN guys too, and he was on together with Mariota, and it was almost like Winston didn't want to look at Mariota as he was talking. There seemed to be
no friction.
Yeah,
really?
And I don't, judging on body language only, and you can get in trouble when you sort of read into that kind of stuff. But it didn't seem like Mariota was all that fond of Winston either. Mm. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. And I just, you know, like, listen, you're at the combine. We know you're going to be wanting to kill this guy every time you play him.
Right.
I mean, you're a natural competitor. Just like I'm sure Brady and Manning have tons of respect for each other, but they want to beat each other's brains out on the field. You know, you can kind of do that on the field. You don't have to be like that off the field.
Right.
I did think one of the overwhelming themes of the week was players – talking about their own off-field character. It is clear these agents have just absolutely beaten it into them that I'm a good person. You don't have to worry about
me. League. Yes. I could see that.
You know, you're right, Fred.
And some of them are probably telling the truth, and some of them are not.
You know, because a lot of questions were like, you know, so what is the team?
When Winston said it, I mean, nobody really believed it. Right?
What is a team going to be getting when they get you? If they draft you, what is the team going to be getting? And Andy's right. Like,
first and foremost, a good person, a reliable person,
a winner, you know, a team player. I'm coachable. Those are the kinds of buzzwords that a lot of the guys were throwing out there. But, you know, much like every year at the Combine, there's a laundry list of guys. You know, Marcus Peters, one of the best cornerbacks in the draft from Washington, was kicked off the team. You know, so, you know, these things happen. What are you going to do? I did think that he wouldn't get into it. Miscommunication on his part. My fault.
Took responsibility.
Kind of like Orr, the kid from Florida who – basically walked out, pulled a LeGarrette Blunt when he wasn't going to start. But, you know, miscommunication between me and the staff. Yeah, it didn't end the way I wanted.
Was told to find his way back home.
Had to take a bus back from Vanderbilt.
So he got kicked off the team. Now, I did find it interesting. I'm blanking on the coach. Oh, Chris Peterson, Washington coach, is allowing him to conduct his pro day with the other Washington people on campus. So I there was at least some... You know, it couldn't have been too terrible, whatever he did. But I guess a lot of
– Coach had to do what he had to do.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he got to the point where he had to dismiss him, but not necessarily this is not a guy I want anywhere near my campus anymore. And I did find it interesting. He told a story about
– I like stories.
He continued – someone asked him about it, so someone obviously knew the story, but he continued to text his fellow defensive backs about coverages, game plan-oriented stuff, scouting, going into the next game. Listen, so-and-so is going to do this.
Right.
So he's probably a high-spirited hothead who got himself, you know, in Paul Perillo-like fashions, opened his mouth one too many times and found himself off the team.
Okay. So you mentioned D linemen, pretty deep draft for D linemen.
Yep.
What about the offense?
Oh, D lineman Xavier Cooper's a guy I really liked. Yeah. We're talking about guys we like and didn't like, first impressions. He's an athletic guy out of Washington State. Very motivational speaker type, and when he was telling me he's a good guy, I bought it. You know, he talked about his struggles academically. It's hard for me. I'm not going to pretend it's not hard for me, but you know, I like to talk to kids about it. Everybody, if you work and blah blah blah, I really bought him, and I think he's an intriguing athlete. He's one of those like 6'3", 6'4", 290 athletic. Now, the Patriots probably aren't in the ballpark for that because of Easley, but I was intrigued by him.
Who was the huge guy that ran the sub-5 40 that everyone was talking about?
The Hobart offensive lineman?
Yeah.
Stupid.
No, not the D3 guy.
He's going to get overdrafted. So just
he's a
ready.
Huge offensive lineman that ran like a 4.9.
Yeah, no, there
40.
Was another guy.
He's actually, he sold himself perfectly. I run a sub 5.40, I'm 300 pounds, and I play football. So why not me? And I'm thinking, because you play Division III football. You now have to play in the NFL where the best person you've ever played
Andy,
couldn't
just
make
think
the
if
league.
Someone gave you that shot.
Yeah, and I would think, you're going to draft me? Because that's ridiculous.
Someone gave you the shot. That's all you needed. That's all you
ridiculous.
Needed. You would have taken the.
Not to mention, I was.
You would have taken
over
it from
5
there.
In the 40.
Last ring, baby.
Yeah. Under 200. And couldn't play football. I was the anti Mopar.
And I forgot to step slide.
No, I thought there was another guy. I don't know if he was from Texas.
Beckham or... Green, by the way. Or no, Green Beckham. It's Green Beckham, right?
Yes.
Another guy I didn't buy.
Yeah.
He has all the tools in the world, but I'd be scared to death of him.
He's the problem child off the field, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's the on off the field. You know, everybody loves me. I'm family at Oklahoma, just like I was family. I didn't buy anything he was selling except for the fact that he's physically gifted.
Offensive lineman?
There was an Eric-like douchebag out of Duke.
10 minutes.
Just pompous a-hole.
Really?
Stood up there like he was the best person in the room.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't care for him one bit. Now, he was a little more accomplished than you, Eric, because, you know, he's in the NFL draft and he's at Duke, and he's planning on being a neurosurgeon when he's done playing. But I didn't care for him. He's one. Somebody asked him, do you think you're too smart for football? I don't see how that could be possible, he said. Like, I didn't like anything about him. Rub me the wrong freaking way.
And a couple of the guys that
I
really
draft
hate,
him.
Fred, and I say
he'll
hate,
be a douche.
I say hate sarcastically, but guys that are just so freaking athletic that they just, you know, decide on a whim what they're going to do. One of them was Quentin Rollins from Miami, Ohio. He is one of the top 5 cornerbacks on most people's draft boards.
He's tied for 5th with Mayock.
In high school, he got a scholarship offer from Miami, Ohio to play basketball after his junior year, and he took it. Played 4 years of basketball at Miami, Ohio. Started at point guard all 4 years. You know, most of those big-time athletes don't finish in 4 years. It's 5. So, in his
so now he's like 22.
In his 5th year, he decided, I'll play football. I played football in high school. He's one of the top 2 or 3 cornerbacks in the draft on 1 year. First time he tackled a guy live was the first game of the season in 5 years. So he's that ridiculously athletic. He was very impressive to talk
to. I'd rather take a chance on him than a Division III guard out of Mopar.
Yeah, this
Hobart.
Is a guy who has
Mopar,
the has all the measurables.
Right.
Quentin Rollins.
An elite athlete.
Another guy, Ole Miss cornerback, Cinquez Golson. I believe he's the guy who had 10 picks this year for in the SEC, which is obviously a pretty high level of football. Out of high school, drafted in the 8th round by the Boston Red Sox. Turned out a $1.4 million contract offer because he wanted to play. He could have gone to Alabama, but Alabama wanted him to just play football. So he went to Ole Miss so he could play both. Then he ended up quitting baseball after his freshman year. Still hasn't completely given up on baseball altogether, but he says he's committed to football. Middle round guy, 4th or 5th round guy,
yep.
But
athlete.
Just guys with ridiculous skill.
Who's that?
Cinquez Golson.
So he and the Shaq Thompson guy were both drafted by the Red Sox?
Yes.
Yeah. Shaq Thompson's another one. I mean, you're familiar with him,
Shaq
right?
Thompson struck out 38
but
out of 39 at
another one of Paul's guys. The Red Sox went and told him to play baseball and we'll draft you. He was just a great athlete in the, I think, Oakland area, Northern California, somewhere.
Why couldn't they just draft him?
Well, because they were... He wasn't playing baseball.
But you can draft someone.
I know, but I think they wanted him to play a little baseball before they drafted
him. Even Belichick didn't draft Steve Neal.
Well,
so he just signed him.
Yeah. And then, because they were trying to beat the bushes for more prospects, and then he went, had 39 at-bats in rookie league ball, struck out 37 times. Yeah. I think he made contact his very first at-bat, hit a rope, and people were like, whoa. And he basically never made contact again.
That was it. Wide receivers.
A lot of wide receivers.
Everyone was just loving Cooper, just saying that he was just so graceful in and out of his
Cooper,
cuts.
White, you know, had one of the better combines of anybody to maybe get himself, try to pull neck and neck. Because Cooper went in as sort of the number one receiver. Everybody's bored. I think Kevin White might have closed that a little bit. It's a really intriguing wide receiver class. Not every, you know, a lot of people before the combine had Funchess from Michigan. Tight end slash wide receiver slash tight end, played both. Did not have a great combine. I think you'll see his stock fall, but a lot of people thought he might be a 32nd pick for the Patriots. I don't know whether they were kind of assuming he'd be a big receiver or if he would blend into that Tim Wright, Aaron Hernandez
role.
People
see Michigan. Oh, Brady will love him.
Right. But he was on the downside.
15 years ago.
There were a lot of good receiver workouts. I think it's a very intriguing. A year after a great receiver draft, it's probably a very good receiver draft. Safety, and I wrote about this, safety not a very good position. And I was joking with Paul, and a year ago all we said is they needed a safety. And nothing's really changed. I mean, Patrick Chung had a good year.
Right.
But, like, none of the young safeties, you know, Daron Harmon didn't become the guy. McCourty's a free agent, and yet we're not really talking about safety as a big need position, which is good because there aren't really a lot of high-end, play-right-away type safeties like there were a year ago with all those four first-round picks or three first-round picks and a couple guys second round that played.
Four. I think you're right.
But that's not a great group. There are some groups that aren't very good. But the running backs, it's like they're going to flip-flop. Positions that haven't gone in the first round are going to go in the first round, and some that have been going in the first round.
And then there was, like, big news in the middle of last week. You know, Gurley won't let people look at his knee. Well, and then it comes out after, well, he's only 3 months out of, you know, the surgery, and his doctor doesn't want people poking and twisting and bending.
I'm drawing a blank. Strippers can look
it
up for me.
It is another one of those things that was very deceiving.
Right.
There was a guy who was coming off an ankle injury who had been running perfectly, who after his medical testing couldn't run because they bent his ankle in so many directions and ways that they basically re-sprained it, re-injured it. So
yeah, he's not going to be able to take part.
Not exactly ridiculous for a guy to say, no, I don't want all these guys poking and prodding me.
I tore my ACL. I'm upfront about it. Everybody knows.
And I got Dr. James Andrews. He'll vouch for me. He's better than any of you guys. So shut your pie holes.
Right.
Yeah, but that's a good point, Freddie, because that's another one that was sort of like, what a douche.
Yeah, if you didn't know, you'd be like,
what's he hiding?
Yeah, what's he hiding?
But he's with Dr. James Andrews. It's not like he has the guy from The Simpsons as his
doctor. But the average Joe.
No, he said I'm fine.
The average Joe that sees that on his Twitter feed doesn't connect all those dots.
No,
right
you're right, Frank. I got to be honest with you. When I first heard it, I was like, that's odd.
Yeah.
And then you click on the link and you read it a little bit and you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Especially when he said, you know, I think I'm a first round pick. I'm vying to be one of the highest picks in this draft. And then to see, no, you can't look at my knee. Nobody's touching my knee.
Right. All right. So good stuff. Might as well get right into it because people now have their questions. And
Paul ran a 40, you know.
Did he?
We finally took advantage of our special credentials at the Combine.
He started Monday and finished Friday.
But it was freaking cold there. But we walked all week down from the hotel outside. And we both looked like Tom Coughlin.
Get your free breakfasts.
Yes, got our free breakfast. Got our happy hours a couple nights.
I definitely know what Tom Coughlin felt like on the sideline in Green Bay that year they won the NFC Championship.
Because we were right
on
the cusp.
It looked like his face was going to fall off.
Whatever the walk was, 12 minutes, we were right at the end of it. If we stayed out any longer, I think we legitimately could have burned our skin a little bit. That's how cold it was. And then we got 6 inches or 5 inches of snow the last day, and we're like, I'm not going outside.
Yeah.
And you can get there indoors,
right?
But it's a long, circuitous route. And there's a but there's a tunnel at the end where regular media can't go through, but we have like team credentials, so we go down there and we don't really know where we're going, so we're walking by like the bench press area. Then we asked some guy,
how do we get up? Quick set in, Fred.
I wonder, now if you had hung out, would you have been able to?
Yes.
Oh,
the only people that would have kicked us out would have been our people.
Yeah, I'm convinced that if we had seen Patriots staff
next year,
you know, no.
Why? Let them kick it out.
There's nothing in there, Fred, for us to see.
Just to get a little of
I actually
flavor.
Don't think it would be bad for a short, like, flavor.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're allowed to, whatever. But we asked some guy, how do we get up to the media workroom, the club? And he's, just come this way.
Come this way. Get down on the field.
Walks us right onto the field. And, like, people are doing drills and stuff. Right. And I'm like, we need to get out of here. We need to get out of here. I started, like, getting the shakes. That's all I need is Belichick to look down from his suite and be like, what are these effers doing here?
All right.
Any credentials next year?
You know, I'm sure people read this, but
who was the guy that Belichick was sitting next to in the stands that everyone took pictures of?
Yeah, no idea, but I saw him.
It's a pretty cool picture with him with Rex Ryan, though, don't you think?
That was funny. Yeah, everybody made a big deal about that.
Yeah.
Did that bother people? I was wondering what the reaction.
Everyone was like, "Oh, that's awesome."
Like I was wondering.
They made a bigger deal about Belichick's sweatshirt,
which is what he wanted. I bet.
Right, of course.
You know, now there's because they sell them on his foundation website.
That's smart for him.
$55 or whatever.
Right. Smart for him to be wearing that. But I just was wondering if there was any reactions because I know that everybody has this notion that Bill, he must like throw darts at Rex Ryan every day.
He's a pimple. nothing.
Well, I think the opposite. I think he respects him a lot. And I've explained this
coworker.
A lot in the past. I think he respects the fact that he's a game plan coach.
Yeah.
He thinks those are the guys that earn their money.
Yeah, he knows what he does against his team. You know, right. How can you not notice that? And every time I play this guy,
yeah. I just was wondering if there was like a little of the aura was lost. Like, these two guys can actually stand each other. I thought they hated each other.
Didn't really get that. Didn't really
and I was wondering
vibe.
If anybody sort of made anything out of that. Because I thought it was pretty cool.
Everybody wanted to order the sweatshirt.
Right.
Well, yeah, I get that.
They did.
I know.
Rex, by the way, with an unbelievable bomb to open his press conference.
I heard.
Telling this story about, I didn't know what. It made no sense at all. And it just, to his credit, he realized it bombed. And he goes, oh, I should have gone with Indiana like another one.
He did. Now you know or something.
He goes, now you know. And then he was better during his press conference.
Scar was there for us. Yeah. We flew down with Scar, Dante Scarnecchia.
Did you see him? Did you talk to him?
He was sitting right across from me on the plane. I said, now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have retired.
And I said, well, you're not working out anymore? I gave him a little. I turned the tables on what he used to do to me, and he laughed. He got a big laugh out of that. Actually saw his son, who is now
He asked for you, Eric, by the way.
He did.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he
did.
His son, Steve Scarnecchia, is now the Bears Nigerian, essentially, the assistant to the head coach for Dan Quinn in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
So I talked to him for a while. And turning into his father. They look the same.
Really?
They speak the same mannerisms. It's amazing because they're not together that much.
Yeah.
You know, you think about it, like, both in the NFL, they're both working a lot and blah, 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 and yet the mannerism, it's the same. It's really interesting.
Interesting.
And I'm sure you saw in that photo our good friend Greg Schiano.
Yes, he's there.
So I don't ever want to hear you say that we have smaller coaching staffs than everyone else in the league. We just have all these people that aren't on the coaching staff.
What do you like to call it, Fred?
It's our satellite staff.
Shadow. I like you call it
shadow staff. We have Scott O'Brien. We have Dante Scarnecchia. We have Greg Schiano. We actually have the who's who of coaches that aren't listed on the roster.
Right. Bill O'Brien's still on the staff. All right.
Bill O'Brien was great with me. That made my whole week.
That must have been good. Yeah.
That made my whole week.
That was good. Did you clean up after?
Wow, Fred.
That's not appropriate.
No.
Scar did ask for you, Eric. He said,
that's nice.
He said, Eric, not with you guys? And I said, he'll be making the trip to the owner's meetings. Little switch off there. He goes, oh, I like the way you guys do that. He was very impressed, but just wanted to let you know he was asking for you.
Good guy, Scar. We like him.
Really good guy.
He is. Really is.
Did he say, is he enjoying retirement, or is he kind of like...
Oh, yeah.
Did my name come up?
No.
Your name didn't come up.
I actually got more out of Steve in that nature. He's just talking about, I guess his daughter lives right down the road from them, so he does a lot of, you know, normal grandfather stuff.
Oh, good.
Playing with the kids. Picking
I hope
kids.
I was hoping it wasn't one of those things where, like, he was, like, pacing up and
down every day.
I couldn't wait for the opportunity to go to the combine, you know?
No. And Steve said, like, I didn't notice it, but Steve said, I think he looks better. Like, he looks healthier, looks...
Yeah.
Kind of the nothing's bearing down
for him.
On him.
I don't think he had done a tremendous amount of research before because he was doing a lot of research on the plane.
He was asking you guys, so who do you guys like?
He was watching FSU.
He was watching a lot of Florida State offensive linemen on the plane.
And that's probably why Yahoo Sports has Cameron Irving to the Patriots at number 32.
All right, let's get to the phones. Justin's
We didn't even talk about food.
Hold on, Justin.
I got to the airport late, and Paul was already like five Miller Lights deep in Logan before we'd even left.
I heard about that.
It wasn't
Diet
funny.
Millers.
It really wasn't funny when you tweeted it out.
Matt Smith enjoyed it.
It's not funny
but
now.
But how was St. Elmo's?
St. Elmo's, good. Just so you know, I'm pretty sure all the prices have gone up.
Really?
Yes.
I believe I had my best meal ever at St. Elmo's.
What's the prime rib now?
I don't know, but
it's like
prices.
52.
Everything
50,
was in
that's up a little.
Like something else was like 60. The shrimp cocktail, I believe, is now 18 a person.
Bucks
oh, that's
that.
Ridiculous. Ooh.
Didn't it used to be like 13 or something?
I think so, yeah.
Everything's gone up.
I got a bone-in ribeye.
This is my way of telling you there's
52
a
or something.
Big,
like that.
Big, a big expense report.
This is my way of greasing the skids for that expense report.
Yeah, Andy had a little bit of a heart palpitation when he realized that he was the one that was going to have to pick it up this year.
Wow.
I picked up Weber Grill, which is usually the other big one.
Did that deliver again?
That's about half of what Elmo's is.
You might like this. King crab mac and cheese I had with my steak at Elmo's. That was good.
Is that new?
I think so. I don't remember seeing that on that menu.
Did you get the navy bean soup?
Of course.
We did. And I believe I had my best meal ever at Elmo's.
In the world. Yeah.
And I did not.
My best meal at
Elmo's.
Mine was B minus.
And everybody else sort of, was okay with it.
Really?
My ribeye, as I've told Andy many times.
So I'm
going to
get like a $4,000 bill and everyone was okay with it?
Oh, no. Freddie, I was not okay with it. I was double thumbs
up. And you know
up.
Him. He's hard to impress and please.
That's true. I don't just say, oh, that's great.
Has Sosi been to
Elmo's before? No, you guys do a lot of work. You deserve
Sosi enjoyed Elmo's. I think he enjoyed the whole first
experience. I think Bob really enjoyed being with, you know, he's a good audience too. Like every, you know, one of Andy's stupid jokes, he laughs at.
He does.
You know?
Yeah, he did.
We had a lot of fun. We were sort of making fun of the fact that people come up to us and congratulate us.
Right.
Not so much at the combine, but in general, like, oh, congratulations for, you know, like we didn't do anything. You know,
Yates did. Like the first person we saw was like,
we worked for a team.
Guys.
We worked for a team that won the Super Bowl, and you know, I get it. Whatever. So Bob and I, and many people have gone up to Bob and said that. So that was sort of the running joke. Like we'd have these conversations. Like, oh, and by the way, congratulations. And Bob had a lot of fun with that.
Good.
It's nice, though, that
Bob did some
that,
good networking, too, with some of the other play-by-play guys. And I think they were going over
different
ways to chart games. And
they were. It'd be funny if, like, you had
a Bob
room
really
and they all talk
fun.
Like they do. Hi, how you doing? It's like.
You're off the air. You don't have to talk that way.
Touchdown, Patriots.
I'm now shaking my hand.
Hand?
Giving play-by-play of the handshake.
Right. Let's go to Justin in Virginia. Thanks for holding on, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Glad Paul and Andy are back from the combine. I want to get your take on some of these Florida State guys and Florida players in general coming out.
The O-line guys?
No, just anybody.
Oh, okay, anybody.
In general. But I also wanted to say, a lot of people are talking about Kevin White versus Amari Cooper. I got to give it to Kevin White. I think he's bigger, stronger, faster, better for the contested catch. All Amari Cooper really has on him, to me, is the route running, and Kevin White can get better at that, to me, at the NFL level, but that's just how I feel. Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, Justin.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, Kevin White is a physical specimen who had a great combine. Amari Cooper is the polished, productive, proven wide receiver. Do with that what you want. I mean, now you have to kind of decide upside, consistency, all that stuff. But White had a great combine.
I typically like to go with the guy who's proven that he can do it.
Yeah. I will be really surprised if Cooper is not really good in the NFL. Yeah. He may not be Calvin Johnson or whatever, but if he's not a 1,000-yard good receiver, I'll be surprised.
I agree with that. Someone, and I forget who, it might have been an anonymous GM or something like that, with the Alabama guys, you always have to worry about them because they all get beat to crap down there. And I don't know if that is
like
less.
Julio.
You know, I don't know if that's less worrisome with a receiver who probably didn't get beat to crap, but I think they were talking.
Julio did. Julio?
I think it was in relation to, yes, we do.
They used to throw, he would take a pounding.
Will you leave him alone?
He doesn't even know.
I think they were talking about it in relation to T.J. Yeldon, you know, but.
Who ran a slow time.
Yeah, well, he's not
like 4.7.
He's not lightning quick.
Maybe you don't have to be lightning quick to be a running back that runs better than 4.7, whatever it was.
This is true, but I do wonder with the Alabama because they run such an NFL program that I wonder if maybe physically they're a little bit more wear and tear than some of the other programs.
Collins, that's the safety.
Landon Collins
got a little defensive of that. Somebody said, you know, a lot of times Alabama guys don't necessarily come in and have the impact that Ha-ha seemed like he had an impact last year. He was quick to point out that, you know, I'm a safety.
What do you have to say about Mark Barron?
He didn't. Was his point. Just like the reporter probably would have said, guys like Mark Barron haven't contributed, he would have left out Ha-ha.
I think when you look at some of those things.
There's just so much good talent on that team. It's hard to pick out the guy that's really the exceptional one.
That's a great point, and we often said that with, like, the old Ravens defenses. Mm. But I think you also look at where you go, too, makes a lot. If Mark Barron had gone to Green Bay, he probably would have looked like Clinton Dix.
Yep, right.
You know, he goes to Tampa Bay, and he's asked to do a little bit more,
if Mark
maybe.
Barron gets drafted here, and he's playing with Revis and Browner and McCourty, I bet you he'd look pretty good back
there. And I'm not saying it's a perfect comparison. I don't know exactly, you know, the skill set for Barron as opposed to Clinton Dix, but you know my point is.
Yep. Strippers thinks, Andy, the guy you were talking about that had his ankle re-injured might have been Rutgers' Tyler Croft.
It was indeed.
Tight end from Rutgers.
Yep.
Yes.
Re-injured by the medical process.
Can you think of anything more exciting for Bill Belichick? A tight end from Rutgers.
Right.
Who's now injured.
Yeah. Who's now
right.
Value.
That's a hat trick. I could get him in the seventh.
Maybe it was our guy that did it. He gave her the old, what's that movie where she puts the author's legs on the thing?
Breaks
Misery. Kathy Bates.
But the one thing about it, though, these are no longer Schiano's guys.
No, now they're Ben McDaniel's guys.
Yeah.
Right.
From now on.
You know who that is.
You know who that is, right?
Josh McDaniel's
brother is the offensive coordinator.
He's the offensive coordinator.
He is now.
Yeah. Right. He was the quarterback's coach. Josh kind of made him. I want to belittle him or anything, but the guy was a high school coach. Josh brought him to Denver, and then now he has turned that into college opportunities and different things.
Marcus is in Miami. Hey, Marcus.
I mean, Josh was really.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
You know what's going on.
GA.
Yeah, but congratulations. I haven't talked to you guys since we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, thanks.
Congratulations.
To you, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm looking here just thinking, you know, obviously we won the Super Bowl. We want to repeat. What's the biggest thing that we might have to do to be able to repeat as far as resigning and rebuilding?
Darrell Revis.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he said that besides resigning,
that's the
I think maybe revamp the pass rush a little bit. You know?
I would say line depth. I think both sides of the line, you're going to be, you know, Wilfork had a great comeback year, even if you keep him, depending on the contract. Can you count on him to play 16 games again? Mm-hmm. An offensive line, I didn't think the offensive line was great anyway. And you might lose Conley, Wendell. Can you get by another year with him as your guard? So I think the two lines might need a little tweaking.
If you had to pick one, defensive line or offensive line, which would you pick?
Offensive line.
I would take I think offensive line because I think you're going to lose Conley.
Okay.
You're going to need.
If you lose Conley, definitely.
You're going to need another starter.
You're not going to plug in Klein or the tuba player?
They may. But even if you do that.
That was called September and it didn't work.
But even if you do that, you know, you need other options.
Right.
For hey when, guys, you know, for when that doesn't work.
What do you got, Marcus?
Hey, just in case anybody ever has a feeling sad or anything like that, all you got to do is go back to Thanksgiving a couple years back and look at the Jets in the second quarter and look at those 53 seconds, and that should make you smile.
Yeah,
that was an impressive, not just the butt fumble. That whole stretch there was re-goddamn ridiculous.
It was. All right, thanks, Marcus. Let's go to Orlando in Springfield. Hey, Orlando.
Hey, what's going on, baby?
What's up?
It's even colder where you are than it is here.
Yeah, it gets cold and snowy, man, but you've gotten a lot more snow than we've gotten on this side of the state.
Yeah, we have more snow, that's for sure.
You know what, though? With all the snow that's falling, I can't help but just think to myself, as much snow that we've had on the ground, it still doesn't dampen my championship mode.
That's right. That's right.
I've been shining like a new dime for the past month, man. I feel great.
Shining like a new dime.
I thought he was going to say diamond.
Great,
yeah. Just a dime.
You want to talk about the wide receiver position, and in particular Aaron Dobson. Personally, myself, I've pretty much given up on this guy. But what do you see us doing with the wide receivers next year, and do you think Dobson's going to be a part of the plan?
I don't.
It's up to Aaron Dobson. It really is. I mean, if he does what he has do in the offseason, I'm not ruling him out, but I'm like you, Orlando. He's not on my radar.
I wouldn't rule him out, but that's the question.
Yeah.
If you're McDaniels, just because you don't rule him out doesn't mean he's a part of the plan, quote unquote.
No, but he'll have to prove himself in the spring and summer.
So he's in the same boat with Brian Timms and whoever the hell
else. Everybody else.
Yep. He's no longer.
So that means you probably could be looking for a receiver.
Yeah, he's especially if you lose draft pick Aaron Dobson. He's just Aaron Dobson.
If you cut ties with Amendola, like a lot of people think they will, then you need another guy to be in that mix because you can't just go with Edelman and LaFell and say, well, that's all we need.
Right.
I'm not even sure he's just Aaron Dobson. He no longer has the positive of being a second-round pick. I think he might have a little baggage, a little negative, that he needs to prove himself. Whatever went wrong for the entirety of last year, mm-hmm. I think he might need to prove himself.
Yeah, like a good passing camp in May might be like, well, we've seen flashes from him before.
Right.
You know,
he's got to go above and beyond.
Can he stack them together?
He needs to have a great training camp.
Yeah.
And preseason.
Yeah.
And probably stay healthy.
If you had to put you guys on the spot right now, do you see him making the team at the end of the preseason?
No.
No.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
See, I have a hard time saying no until I see what they do.
Yeah, I'll be stunned if he has a great training camp and preseason and makes the team. I will be legitimately stunned.
Yeah, I
wouldn't
think,
be stunned.
I think
but I'm not predicting.
I think he will make it, but I don't think he will ever be like the second round pick that everybody thought, the promise and all that stuff. I think he'll be a sort of a Jaggy type extra receiver.
I just think it would be fascinating if the wide receiver redo like a year later was a no do. You had those three.
Undo.
Boyce, Tompkins, and Dobson. Two of them were gone 1 year, and then boom.
Yeah. Now, if they go out and they draft someone in the third round, you know,
Percy Harvin, they're going
to sign another Brandon LaFell.
Yeah, Percy Harvin, according to Jason Lock.
Then I would say that long odds for
Percy Harvin.
He says if the Jets don't get something done, there's three teams that would be interested: the Chargers, the Patriots, and one other. I forget.
Well, you know, the Patriots have always been enamored with him. Bill loved him coming out of college, by all accounts. I shouldn't say that we know that because he told us that. By all accounts, Bill was really taken.
Yeah, everybody claims that he was going to take him, and then Childress took him, and blah, blah, blah.
But you're going to have to pay this guy, right? So if he's in here, Vereen's gone?
Well, I think Vereen's probably gone.
I think he's probably gone anyway.
Gone anyway?
There's a report from the Boston Herald citing the always famous sources
that he's looking for $5 million annually, and he's not going to get that.
Quick but, Boston Herald story. Jeff the Hammer Howe. People were beating around the bush with Green Beckham, right?
Yep.
About, you know, mistakes, and he said, "I." And then Jeff goes, "Well, you pushed the woman down the stairs." Like, just flat out said it. And I was like, whoa.
Good for him.
It was like Dan Housley showed up and was just hammering the guy.
You started calling him Housley, and he got all mad.
Well, how'd the guy react?
I just avoided it, just kind of. Yeah, very stuck to the speaking points of I've made mistakes, yeah. I've moved on, I'm here to talk about whatever.
But he's going to be if Vereen is looking for the money, he's going to be hard pressed to get it here.
Well, and he's not going to get $5 million a year anywhere.
No, and he probably
it's
knows
it's where
that.
It comes down to. But I was of the belief immediately he's gone because they don't pay running backs. They just haven't paid any running backs. But the only thing that gives me pause there is who is it going to be?
Right,
James Amir Abdullah.
White? Right.
Okay, so now it's a rookie.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the rookie we had last year, who we all said was going to come in and have an impact, except he came
Andy
in and didn't dress for any games.
Andy and I really, we had a little back and forth on this one. I didn't think there was a huge difference between Shane Vereen's rookie year and James White's rookie year.
I saw more flashes out of Vereen, but he had those injuries.
Yeah, Vereen was injured.
He was hampered.
Yeah, but
White wasn't
didn't
injured.
Play, is my point. He right. didn't play.
I'd rather a guy be hurt and not
reasons.
Play than,
exactly.
than just not play.
Different reasons.
We have no interest.
Yeah.
And I never saw anything from White almost anywhere. Like, I never watched him really on the practice field and was wowed. He sucked as a runner. He flat out sucked as a runner. As a pass catcher, he was fine. But I never said, you know how I fell in love with Shane Vereen? I thought Shane Vereen was really good. And then, you know, this year I kind of backed off because I'm sick of him not living up to it. I never had that hype with James White.
Now, I will agree with that. There was nothing that we saw from James White, but Vereen was always hurt, and he didn't really have much to do with anything his entire rookie year.
I just thought, to me, I saw a little bit more quickness and shiftiness from Vereen that I didn't see from James White.
Yeah, I think you're judging Vereen off of what you end up seeing, what you ended up seeing, not what you saw as a rookie. Because he didn't show any shiftiness when he was nursing a hamstring from the in-stadium practice the rest of the year.
But I give him the benefit of the doubt that, you know, he would have if he wasn't injured.
Well, he also got the benefit of the doubt because he was a second-round pick instead of a fourth-round pick. That helps him.
Yeah.
I just, if I'm Tom Brady and I go into my first huddle and we're going to run the two-minute offense and my lead back in that is James White, I'm saying. And I'm
here
giving
we go again.
$8 million I can have James freaking inactive as my
point.
Lead.
It's a good point. Okay, so maybe you don't pay him $5 million, but is he worth $3.5 million
but
a year?
That's where I think maybe this is the
And there's no
case
way they'll
they...
give him $3.5 million.
Yeah.
No way.
I'm not sold on that.
To have that confidence in the huddle, to have someone who knows the system in those situations.
I'm starting to lean your
give
way,
Give me an
Fred.
Example of the time that they did that.
They haven't.
What do you mean?
Give me an example of the time they said – because we want to make sure that Tom has that confidence in the huddle and the guy that
Kevin
he feels.
Kevin Falk make some pretty good money?
No, never.
Well, I mean, he had
come
a
on.
He had like
he
a
started
five
as a
years.
Second round pick, so he had to make some pretty good money.
Well, show Shane Vereen.
He was a second round pick in 1999.
I know. And
his last contract by the time was done, $15 million for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so maybe his last contract.
Yeah, back then. So that's about $3.5 million in today's economics.
Listen, you asked me a question.
Yeah.
Andy and I disagree. Andy says he thinks they
might,
and I think
there's
no chance they'll give him that amount of money.
I think they might.
I think it's one of those that could hinge on, like, the Revis. If you can get Revis done and drop that cap number and you have a little money, I think you could give a little more than people will expect.
I think there's something to be said about, you know, the
I do too, but I don't think they agree with us.
Yeah.
That's all.
I'm not even sure it's the rapport. I think it's they don't have anyone else, and you need to tell me who that other person is.
I think there's
something
to that as well,
Fred. You just won a Super Bowl
because
you threw back the pass 11 times.
Well, you know, C.J. Spiller's name's come up. You know, if he's
right, you're going to have to pay a lot more.
Exactly. You're going to have to pay him more.
So if you give me an option and say, okay. Now, the flip side of this is Danny Woodhead. You had nobody, and Danny Woodhead became somebody via you.
Right.
And that maybe that can happen. But you know what else can happen? Antoine Harris, where you go, uh-oh, this guy can't play. And then all of a sudden, your great offense doesn't have anybody back there. Now, Bolden could be a wild card there. Maybe they think Bolden can
Antoine
do it.
Womack?
No, Antoine Harris.
He's
safety.
Talking just a guy
that you
guy.
Penciled in as a replacement.
They thought they had a guy that,
chunks.
That could that could play, and then they found out in one game that he couldn't.
Now,
they had
Bolden, I think, is a wild card here because I think they think that Bolden is more than I think Bolden is.
They definitely think Bolden is more than
Well, I think he gets extra credit for the work he does on special teams.
No, but I'm not take that out of the equation. I'm saying maybe they think Brandon Bolden can be good enough in that third down role. Or at least good enough to be there along with White, and one of them will emerge. That they're both good enough, and one will emerge.
Yeah. Kakar from Orlando writes in.
No, hey, that's Brady's ice cream.
Hey, Andy and Paul, welcome back. Did you get a chance to get a closer look at the FSU O-lineman Cameron Irving
yep.
and Trey Jackson?
Yes.
I think if we actually make a selection at 32, it will be one of these two players. Hopefully Irving due to his versatility, but since they seem to be the obvious choice, I have practically crossed them off my board. Classic Belichick smokescreen.
Another guy I have looked at is Shepard, guard out of Alabama. Just reeks of a Patriot.
Really?
Just everything about him smells like a Patriot. Could be a Patriot in a lot of ways. Irving and Jackson are intriguing. They, like we talked about, you know, Dante decided Stork was
which
the guy.
Which one's the one that played tackle and center? Irving?
That's Irving.
Yeah.
Irving's the better player.
That's pretty impressive.
Irving is definitely the better player. It's funny, though, he hasn't played guard, and he's going to have to play guard. Now, I know it's, you know, center and guard. Right, right. If he can play the other two, why can't he play the one? But right. You never know.
You never know. I personally wouldn't be opposed to trading down this year because there are barely 15 can't-miss prospects compared to the incredible depth at O-line, D-line, defensive back, running back, and wide receiver. But
there are not 15 can't-miss prospects in this draft.
Maybe less.
No,
right?
A lot yeah. less.
Well, there's not usually 15 right. can't-miss right. prospects.
Can't-miss is right. usually in the single digits, and I don't think this is a huge can't-miss draft.
But that seems to be the consensus right now is trading down I'm fine with. And my only problem with that is not that I don't want to trade down. I do think that probably makes sense. But let's see how the draft unfolds. I mean, right now we don't really even have boards yet.
Right.
We don't know where – like. You're telling me that someone that the Patriots absolutely love is available at 32 and you want to trade down?
Right. Right.
How do you know what's available?
When Bill Belichick says, I don't know what we're going to do, he's not lying.
No.
Because
if a guy like Cameron Irving was there at 32,
you,
I think right. they'd be interested in him.
You know, who's
if
calling
they like,
you?
If
know?
They like
I don't know if
that's
like
what I'm
him.
Saying.
You know, who's on the other end of the phone? Who picked before you? What happens when I call you? You know,
and
you never know.
Ben Volen was really trying to drum up how valuable that 32nd spot is.
Oh, yeah.
He was asking all the he was asking John Schneider, the Seattle GM, and all, you know, 32, it's the last chance in the first round. Now it's a 2-day draft and all that. They're really trying to drum up that's a valuable trade.
And Schneider said, hey, 31's pretty valuable, too.
Yeah. I'm listening. Anyone, 31, very valuable. Yeah. He did. He was funny. I liked him.
Kakar also says, since 2011, we have only traded out of the first round once in 2013. I think the value of late first round picks has increased significantly since the CBA in 2011 due to the fifth year option. But this, in turn, could mean we receive more value for the 32nd pick from a team looking to lock up a more important position, such as quarterback, similar to what the Vikings did last year. What do you guys think? And one more thing. What players are you most excited about this year? I remember last year one of you was obsessing over Jeremy Hill, and he turned out to be pretty darn good.
I'm not obsessing over anybody yet.
No,
I loved Jeremy Hill.
There have been combines where I've left obsessed. You know, Robert Quinn I obsessed with. Deion Buchanan I was beginning to obsess with.
You did.
I don't have an obsession yet.
Well, here's the problem for Andy and I in terms of the combine is that we went to Indianapolis with a lot less of a base knowledge than we normally would have.
It's a high-class problem.
Because of the Super Bowl.
Behind it, yep.
You know, so we didn't go there.
Hell, some of the position coaches didn't even go.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't go there with as much
knowledge. What was the buzz about that, by the way? You know, a lot of the Patriots coaches, they were given their option, reportedly, to go or not go, and some chose not to go and stay here. Was there a buzz about that at all? People talking about that?
No, there was not.
No?
There was not. And, you know, like Andy said earlier in the show, well, yeah, you know, half of them took the day off, and the non-roster invitees on the coaching staff, they went.
And then on top of that, a lot – Belichick and crew left early. They didn't even stay the whole time.
Bill did not stay, I know, until he was in the airport on Sunday, I believe. Doug Kide, I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Tweeted mm-hmm. out.
Did he have an informal interview with
Patriots? You see, I was going to leave that part out.
Yeah, because I think once you get the interviews done
a bad person.
And the medical done that you need to get done, there's really no more reason to stay there, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's all what you want to get out of it.
I think the on-field workouts are shared, that film.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
So you don't really have to be there.
Hell, you
that.
Can share it by just setting your DVR to NFL Network.
No, and for all I know, when he left, that was the end of the interviews. I don't know exactly what the timing was.
Yeah,
but
so once you get the interviews and your medical stuff done, you don't really need to be
there. If you had no more interviews, there'd be no reason to stay.
Unless you want to tamper, which is, you know.
Which is okay.
Another.
Well, that was what Rex Ryan, he said, you know, a couple of years, maybe my first year, I might have, and he gets up.
Right.
He goes, I might have taken a swing at that one with Revis.
Right.
And then they asked him about someone, Mark Sanchez, and he turned around. He goes, I'll switch hit. I'll go from the right side.
There is a report that they may be pushing the combine back, and part of it is to, I don't understand this at all, is for the tampering. They want more buzz and more stuff to be kind of talked about and done at the combine, so they may push it back like a week so it's closer to the
free agency
March 10th. And
how does that affect the coaches' clinic that I remember?
That would hurt you.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's affecting my Baltimore trip. Well, I'm sure I like that.
Did you guys we haven't talked about this either or even in the office, but Jeff Howe also had a report about Dante Hightower.
Yes.
And
yes.
His convalescence this offseason could be seven to eight months?
Six to seven.
I don't know about that, but his recuperation is going to take a while.
I don't know about that, but his healing.
Yeah.
That's
not
little,
good.
A little troublesome.
No. You have Mayo with his issue.
Does that help Mayo?
I would think it could.
You know, we've talked a lot about Mayo's contract situation.
Chris White. Mm. One of those guys.
Akeem Ayers.
Maybe when does that count? If that's true, when does that countdown start? Has he already had his surgery?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had the surgery immediately.
Yeah, he sent the photo out right away.
I think it was within a week of the Super Bowl. So that must have been in tough shape.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
7 months rehab. He must have had some significant damage that he played through. And he played well through it, too.
He did.
It's not like he was, you know, this is going to sound like a real shot at Jamie Collins, because Jamie Collins had a great year, but... You remember when Jamie Collins had a couple of bad games, everybody's like, oh, he's hurt.
Thigh.
It wasn't like Hightower was noticeably slowed.
Yeah.
I mean, he played really well.
He missed one game, I think, after that.
He missed one game. Yeah.
And then that was it.
Yep.
They have no depth there, so that certainly could affect free agency, the draft, because, you know, I think everybody likes the Hightower-Collins pairing, but if you don't have both, you lose out something, and maybe Mayo, but he's coming off an injury, so who knows what he – that's a major a patella injury for a guy, a big linebacker. That's a troublesome
cover. Maybe we should have done a little bit more
linebacker
research on inside linebackers.
Hey, you can't do them all.
I had a guy that I told everyone to keep their eye on.
Who?
I think it's the guy from Utah State.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very versatile guy.
The middle linebacker? It was a middle linebacker.
Yeah, it was an inside linebacker.
I'm going to tell you right now, if it's an inside linebacker, Andy, and I don't have any comment.
Really? Okay. Never mind.
It's a dying
game. I'm trying to remember who
we didn't do fullbacks either. Inside, I mean, it's like the Brandon Spikes. You know, where's he going to play? What is he? What does he want to be? If you're just a thumper, it's kind of a dying breed.
He might not have been invited to the combine, Fred.
Daniel in London, what do you guys make of running back Javorius Buck Allen from USC as a potential middle-round pick? He makes some amazing cuts and is also a good receiver out of the backfield. With us potentially losing both Ridley and Vereen, Allen could potentially cover both skill sets.
Yeah, he's got some style. I'd like to see some tape and when we get the footage and things, but... The guys that stuck out to me running back-wise, and he was one of them, he's got a good resume, but I really liked Amir Abdullah. And you asked about him, Andy. I mean, you asked about Vereen, and I think that he has some of the skill sets. He was effusive in his praise of Vereen, which, you know, day one we talked to a lot of tight ends. And all the tight ends, you know, well, who do you pattern yourself? You know, who do you think?
Rob Gronkowski.
Okay, makes sense. He's the best in the business at what he does, so I'm going to pattern myself. The amount of people that talked about Shane Vereen.
Yeah, I saw that.
In most cases.
What a Super Bowl do for
But
you?
In most cases, they were prompted about with questions from Shane Vereen. Phil Perry from CSNNE was asking a lot of questions about Shane Vereen. So, in a lot of ways, they were prompted. But Amir Abdullah just lit up. The dude's a beast. I watched a ton of tape of him. I watch him to try to help me with my route running because he's so good at it. And the way he can stem the linebacker and use his head fakes and get himself open, blah, blah, blah. I mean, Duke Johnson from Miami also talked about Vereen. But Amir Abdullah was the one that really stuck out. These guys were really productive college running backs in traditional three-down, between-the-tackles running, but they're small.
Yeah.
So that's why I think people are sort of projecting him. Like, Abdullah's like 5'8 or 5'9, I think, and Duke Johnson, same. They're short guys. So I don't know blitz pickup, you know, how that's going to go as pros. They both talked about needing some refining of their technique in that regard. I was telling Andy, I really looked for third down types because I was trying to find the Vereen replacement. And there weren't a lot of guys that jumped off the page at me. Oh, this guy's. But when Vereen was coming out, you looked at him and you said, wow, this guy reeks of NFL third down back.
Right.
And I didn't see a lot of guys like that.
Adam in Dublin just emailing ahead of the show, I guess he emailed before. I've got to do some driving. Anyway, first off, really enjoyed last week's show. Nice, easygoing pace with Fred and Eric. Great job.
You know what that's a euphemism for? Boring.
Yeah. My question is about the philosophy going forward with what to surround Brady with regarding receivers, O-line or running back. I know Andy tweeted about Greg Bedard's MMQB piece with Googe, and I found one quote from him regarding Brady very interesting. Quote, if they graze him, it's a QB hit, in my opinion, because it affects him mentally, because he feels the guy on him.
Yep.
They, the offensive line, know he has to be clean, clean.
Yep.
We've all seen incidents in the past when Brady feels the perceived pressure. So would you put stock and draft picks into the offensive line? Would you look for a workhorse running back to take the pressure off, or maybe look for a possession receiver or tight end? Personally, I'd like to keep the wall around Brady as good as it can be, but I'd really like to hear your thoughts.
Guard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, running back, they're not going to run the ball. That's not who they're going to be. I mean, I guess unless you go get Adrian Peterson or somebody. But I think that interior offensive line, because they seem set, you know, another I actually was in on that interview when those quotes came out, and it actually opened my eyes because we do talk a lot about perceived pressure and guys getting near him and that affecting Brady, and it really kind of stunned me that Googe looked at it the same way and voiced those opinions at Media Day at the Super Bowl. But they clearly are all in on Vollmer and Solder, right? I mean, I think those are the tackles, yeah. And they're clearly all in on Stork. I think the line still needs to get better, so that means guard.
Yep.
And Connolly, by all accounts, might be one of your better offensive linemen and your captain. You may lose him. Even if you don't lose him, I'd still like to plug a guard in for Wendell.
Yep.
Because another thing that came out in that story, nobody in the building thought Ryan Wendell could be a guard,
right.
Just like me. Everybody likes to make fun of me because
I think he was referring to you.
You know, he said nobody in the building.
You.
And I am nobody. So that's perfect.
Thank you.
So I am very interested to see where they will go for. I think they're going to draft a guard. I think it's a 100% stone cold lock. They will draft a guard in the first four rounds. Probably the first three rounds.
I went three on SPFW today.
But will they go one or will they go two? Will they trade out of one so they can go twice in the two and blow both of them? Whatever it may be.
Tom in Baltimore, I want to get your opinion on something.
He seems like he's on board, but in reality he's not.
I just can't help it.
I want to get your opinion. What was more crucial to the success of the Patriots this year? Gronk staying healthy for 19 games or the acquisition of Revis?
It's a great question.
It is a good question. You have to think.
Andy and I.
I don't think there's an answer.
Andy and I recycle this about every 6 weeks for a debate.
It's kind of a tie.
You will not convince me. You know, you could probably convince me for a short period, and then somebody else will convince me of the other one.
Yeah, I say Revis only because they've had the dominant offense, but Andy's right.
I could make just as many arguments. Because I love Gronk.
I could make just as many arguments for Gronk.
It's as close a call as
inanswerable.
Yeah.
Or unanswerable, whichever one is right.
Circuit.
It's been a long week.
Circuit always, you know, whatever you said.
I think it's got to be Revis because, you lost Tlaib. So if you didn't have Revis, you know.
I just feel like they've had really good offense.
And now you had Gronk.
But if you lost Gronk first four games, maybe it wouldn't have been that big a deal. Depends on when you lose Gronk.
No, you ended the season without Gronk previously, and your season ended
I know, but.
You ended the season with Gronk, and your season didn't end.
But the question was simply having Gronk for 19 games. Yeah. You didn't say which 19, you know.
No, but the bottom line is you had Gronk when you needed him.
Right.
That's the bottom line. That's why you won.
And that's what his point was, I think, is that you had Gronk.
Don't try to fight with an emailer like you fight with Paul by picking and choosing how you read things.
And I would go with Revis because I think that they've had great offense and they haven't had great defense. I think the defense was pretty close to great. But
they were great.
The flip side, that guy
who never had catches before was making big plays.
I was going to make the argument. On the flip side, you could make the argument that once again in the Super Bowl, it was the offense in the playoffs in general. I mean, they had to score 35 to win one of the playoff games, and they had to get 28,
and
that almost wasn't enough.
Right.
So you could make the argument that as well as Revis played, it was still kind of the offense without Gronk. I think they're out in round one.
Adam in Hunterville, North Carolina. My cousin is a tight end from Ohio State, hoping the Patriots take him. Jeff Howerman.
He has the. I thought he had the best tight end profile on paper for the Patriots. Unfortunately, don't know really a whole lot about him. I didn't get a chance to talk to him because he didn't come out on that day. And Andy and I have a combine rule. Eric, you would hear this as well.
Exactly.
We wrote tight ends on Thursday. Here on Thursday. Oh, actually, this year it was Wednesday.
You don't show up on that day, forget about it.
You're lost. You come out on Friday, you know, for a position that was already written. I'm sorry, you're out.
Means you also have medical red flags usually.
Right. The only exception to that rule is like a Jameis Winston.
Right. It real big name.
Speaking of tight ends, Jess wants to know if you have an opinion on Nick O'Leary, the tight end from FSU, who's Jack Nicklaus's grandson.
That is correct. Cocky, confident, cocky.
How's his short game?
Likeable, though. Shoots in the 70s when he's playing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Can shoot in the He doesn't play a lot, but when he's playing, he can shoot in the 70s.
Which makes that more of a wow.
Yeah.
He doesn't play a lot, but still shoots.
He's a terrific athlete. Old school. And you'd like him. He's an old school guy. Like, no gloves.
Right.
You know, one of those guys, you know, usually has the straggly beard. He's a good player. I don't know if he's athletic enough to separate. Good route runner, great hands, good, you know, he had a great career at a high level at Florida State, obviously. Someone will draft him in, like, the third or fourth round and get a good player, I bet.
Let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Balarco's on it. Hey, Balarco.
Polo.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
First of all, I just want to say that pushing the combine further, in my opinion, is a good idea because it might help. It might make some of the seniors go to the Senior Bowl rather than skipping it because they're training for the combine.
Maybe. I hadn't really thought about it that way, but yeah, maybe.
And also, I wanted to ask about two guys in the combine. What did you think of that running back from Boise? And
Jay
what
Ajayi?
Did you think of that Navy long snapper?
you'll have to tune into the Bob Soucy show.
Yeah, check out Bob Soucy's extensive profile. It's under the Sam Ficken story that he posted. First half of that story is about Sam Ficken, a kicker from Penn State. The rest of that is about the long snapper from Navy, whose name is escaping me right now.
It would have had ever been in my head for it to escape me.
Bob had Joe all Cardona. The details. There you go. Bob had all the details on him. Excellent piece that he put up on Patriots.com late last week.
Was Bob at Navy when this kid was playing?
He must have been, right? Yeah.
Well, he must have been. You know, he could have transferred over. I don't know how soon, if he was there for the whole 4 years or not.
Yeah, and it was funny.
You can transfer to Navy, can you?
Fred?
I thought so.
Can you transfer into Navy?
I don't.
I think you're there or that you're not. I don't think. It's not like an athletic factory where, I'm going to have a JUCO transfer and do this. And you're either with us or you're against us.
Bob had the details on, you know, what his military commitments will be and talking about, you know, the Patriots that we've had in the past, like Eric Catani and Sean White. And
if he doesn't get drafted, I think there's a really good chance he'd be here.
I'm not
sure they'd draft him.
I don't think they would draft him. I know they have.
Down that road, it didn't work.
Yeah, but, I mean, maybe this kid's better. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe you could waste another pick on a long snapper. Speaking of which, I don't know if we've ever discussed that Danny Aiken played the end of the year with a broken finger when he was having some of those issues. Maybe they'll feel
a little
better.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, that came out, a few weeks ago. Maybe that's why they, you know, are understanding of some of his
How did that explain issues earlier in the year when they were ready to cut him?
I don't know.
Well, they did cut him.
Right.
Well, I know, but, I mean, how did...
Maybe his finger's been broken a long time.
Nick in Wisconsin, I'm worried about upgrading the O-line.
Is he still on the line?
No.
Oh.
Balarco?
I thought you started reading an email while I called her.
I'm worried about upgrading the O-line. I think it was a huge part of the Super Bowl run. Their mediocre play allowed Brady to get used to looking for pressure, so this year Mankins doesn't get bitch-slapped by some guy named Potros to end the season. I think they should improve, but I'd rather focus on pass rush or even a running back in the first if a guy like Gurley falls.
Did I hear that properly?
He thinks that by being always ready for pressure, it helps them in the end. Yeah.
So you don't want to upgrade your line then?
That's what he's saying.
Because if you upgrade your line,
that's
he won't
foolish.
Be ready
that's
for
right.
pressure.
That's what he's saying. He said he'd rather focus on defensive line or running back.
I mean, not just having a good line.
That's not foolish. You could rather focus on whatever you would rather focus on, but to say that it's better to have your quarterback always looking for pressure is foolish.
We got
to
get him beat up in October and November so he's ready for it in February.
Cliff and Bama writes in.
That's good, though. Like, that's why this show is great. You will get every theory and idea about the Patriots.
Speaking
on this
of all kinds,
I'd like
food?
To get food, though. Yeah.
he's got the Kevin down. I don't know.
Cliff and Bama says some thoughts on some Bama players. Landon Collins, the safety, is one of those players that make the people around him. He was the best player by far on the Bama defense, and he is the best special teams player I've ever seen. He could replace McCurdy day one or be a big addition next to him replacing Chung. And Yeldon was pushed by a freshman. He is not another Lacey. He is not a powerful runner, and he is slow.
And he fumbles.
Yeah, Collins is the best.
I think you might be right about Collins.
Collins, but he's going to go in the top 15, maybe higher than that. So
yeah,
I
actually agree with both of his assessments because I'm not a huge T.J. Yeldon fan either.
But I don't see any way that Belichick's going to trade up to get a safety.
Yeah, and I don't think it does it seem like it falls in line with them to let a key cog go and then draft his replacement 2 months later or a month later. It's usually.
You have the guy already.
I'm going to draft a guy because next year I might lose McCourty.
Did it with Vinatieri.
Yeah, it's true.
Scott from Connecticut. Speaking of running backs, what about Tyler Gaffney? He is on the roster and reportedly now healthy. Could he be the dark horse Vereen replacement?
Paul hates him.
I don't hate him. Why do you got to do that?
Because every time someone brings up Gaffney, you...
he's not my kind of running back. That's all I'm saying. But I don't hate him. And... we'll see. I mean, there was a report that evidently the Patriots are really high on him. You know, kind of the same reports that we heard about Jake Ballard when they stashed him for a year. And who was the safety?
Josh Barrett.
Josh Barrett.
Oh, those I actually liked Josh Barrett.
Those are the kind of stories we heard about those guys, too.
Right.
You know, diamond in the rough, waiting in the wings.
But if Tyler Gaffney limps like Jake Ballard did, he's got no chance to ever play.
Well, we've seen him in the locker room recently.
I don't think that Tyler Gaffney's injury.
I need to see him run on the field.
No, I know, but he wasn't.
Jake Ballard didn't, like, drag his leg on the locker room. It was just on the field. He tried to run a route.
But I don't think that Jake Ballard, I mean, I don't think Gaffney had an injury that was as extensive as
It was like an MCL.
So, you know, so I wouldn't expect the injury to be the reason that Gaffney does or doesn't succeed. I feel like Bill probably would want him to be part of the, you know, put him in the wheel with Ridley. See who's, you know, because I think Ridley has a really good chance to re-sign a very low money deal, maybe even a 1 year deal, and come back and be in the mix with Blunt, Gray, Ridley, Gaffney. You should be able to find two out of those four to be productive guys for you, and you know that's good competition. The Vereen Vereen absence to me is the one that is tougher to replace.
Bill and Phoenix, while you guys are talking about wide receivers, I wanted to know if you guys had a chance to look at Jalen Strong from Arizona State. He needs some work on routes, but he lives up to his last name and might be the most physical receiver in the draft and can certainly make plays deep down the field. He has great hands and comes down with the contested catch 95% of the time. He had a good combine shedding the fear that he's too slow by running a solid 40 times, so he may be gone by the time the Patriots pick. But at ASU, as an ASU fan, I'd love to see this guy on the team.
Yeah, he's a guy that I think his stock got boosted by, as he said, running as well as people might have hoped. As opposed to Funchess, who went the other way.
Yeah.
But that's his scouting report, as a big, strong receiver, strong-handed. Now that gets into Paul's thing. Oh, yeah, he's great at the contested ball. Why is he getting contested at the ball so often?
Well, that's
why does he not get open more?
And if you remember, that was one of the things that really concerned me about Dobson, is all his catches.
Didn't get open.
That was my wonder. Why is he making all – why are we showing all these great catches when he's not open? Yeah, it – turns out that he had a hard time getting open.
Marco in Houston says, with everyone saying the quarterback class in this draft and in free agency isn't that good, would someone be inclined to give up a first-round pick for Jimmy G? Would you guys make that trade?
I don't think anybody would be inclined to do that. But then you're putting yourself in a situation where what are you doing for a backup?
Get a vet until you draft another guy like Jimmy G.
She's a 14-year-old with cans.
right.
Well, let's talk about it.
No, I wouldn't. I don't think I would do it.
First round pick for Garoppolo?
No.
I definitely wouldn't give one up for him. But I'm not sure if the Patriots would trade him.
I decided he's my guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Isn't that why you drafted him?
I I think so.
As opposed to picking stuff that could have helped you win a Super Bowl.
But you know, do you think,
Fred, I had a good talk with Andy about how they came 1 yard away from me having an incredibly snarky off season. Because all the, you know, you're just taking rounds off, and you think one of those guys going to put you over the top? You came a yard away from winning the Super Bowl.
But isn't that why you picked Garoppolo? You you think he's special. You think he's really good. You know, we heard rumblings that they thought he was a rookie who was capable of playing in the league right away. He didn't have to here because Brady's here, but he could have played.
So you would
right
be
away.
Tempted by taking a first round pick?
I would not.
Getting a vet to back up Brady for now, and then maybe next year draft another guy that you thought.
No. Because I didn't draft another guy. I drafted
the guy.
That's
the guy I identified as being.
You thought
the
he
difference.
Was the guy.
The Patriots did.
Yes. Yeah. So I want to keep him.
I did
he's
too.
The guy that I. You and know, Brady's still... already thinking about his movie career, so he's not even focused on winning anymore.
Yeah. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Are you going to start this again?
That's a report that he's interested in acting.
No, on a Star magazine. That's a very reputable Hollywood source.
Oh, sure.
So like him, by the way. The quote is something to the effect of he thinks he can be a megastar. Like, now you're just going to dominate movies like you've dominated the rest of your life. But
well, after he overcomes a lot of B-movies.
Right, that's true.
Well, the thing is, though, I mean, you got inklings that this guy's a pretty good quarterback from his career in high school and college. I didn't see
he's
that on Saturday
videos.
Night Live. I didn't think he could act at all.
But it wasn't just he hasn't just been on Saturday Night Live.
No,
he's done a lot of those viral videos.
But he's not really.
But even
I agree with Fred. Yeah. Like there's some like
ironically he plays the straight man in a lot of those.
Right.
They just had the Saturday Night Live tribute that was on like 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, whatever
and
it was.
Manning was on it.
And
but
not just Manning.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan. Derek Jeter. There was a lot of different athletes on, and I didn't think Brady stacked up to the rest of the athletes.
No.
Now Manning,
maybe he
you
wants
could
to go
say
to serious films.
Manning has been in so many different things. Maybe he was a little bit more at ease. But I thought some of those other guys came across better in that role. Now maybe Saturday Night Live. Maybe you're right. Maybe he wants to put a little bit more work into his craft in the you know the skits. You know,
and don't you think he'd have to act like? If
you can't just be yourself.
If Gronk said he was gonna, you know, like he can go in some action movie and just action comedy, but Brady's persona is he's going to have to do romantic comedies and things where he'd actually have to act.
Like I don't think Peyton Manning
just can't get by on being Brady.
Right.
Like Howie Long in his or the Boss when they've done their action.
You can't just be yourself.
Brady.
You can't just play yourself.
Right.
And I don't think just because I think Manning is funny in commercials and was funny on Saturday Night Live, if he was you know, a supporting actor in a serious film, I think he would tank.
Right.
I mean, he's not an actor. It's not what he does.
Right.
It'd also be tough seeing him on The Expendables, you know?
Plus, there was that little... Yeah. He would have, neck bolts in his neck or something. There was also reports that, Giselle isn't comfortable with it. That was part of that, because she doesn't want him, locking lips.
Kissing
other
women.
Oh, but she can.
Are you kidding me?
Right. Good point. Yeah. Very good point.
Wait, is that part of the Star Magazine report?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think it's all BS.
Yeah, I think that part of it is. I mean, she is just open European.
Oh, her goods are out for everyone to see.
Oh yeah.
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 I don't think she can question.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe.
What's good for the gander is good for the goose.
Really?
Yeah.
And once again, we're back to 1958.
Chris is in Virginia on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Chris.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
What's up?
Good to hear. I was calling to ask about a couple of free agents the Patriots might pursue. The first one I was thinking about is Roy Helu. Living here in Virginia, I have the unfortunate pleasure of being able to watch all the Redskins games, so I've been able to watch him, and he's actually been a pretty good third down back.
Yep, I agree.
And not utilized very well by the Redskins, which isn't really shocking, honestly. But I think that he'd be pretty cheap, and I think they'd be a pretty good replacement for Shane Vereen. And the second free agent I was going to talk about was Nick Fairley. Obviously, it's a bit more controversial, and you probably have to cut Vince Wilfork and replace him with a guy from the draft, but I think Nick Fairley, when he's motivated anyway, obviously it's a big if, can be a pretty good pass rusher from the interior, and along with Dominique Easley, I can't help but salivate at the thought of that them being the interior of a four-man rush. How do you guys feel about that?
Not interested in Fairley.
You're not because of off-field?
Yeah, he's a punk, and I don't think he's all that great.
He'd definitely be an upgrade over Alan Branch and Silver Salinga, right?
Well, different type of player,
yeah.
And that's one of the questions I think we'll need to address, they'll need to address, is the run stuffer versus penetrator. Do you need a guy? Do you need a biggin? Do you need a run stuffer to pair with easily, or are you really going more small and, you know, however the scheme might be going? Fairly, I want to say he did get cleared in that DUI case, correct? Didn't that happen last
I don't
weeks
know.
Ago?
He's had a lot of
But the most recent
things.
One, he had you like an ongoing right. one that was like a year old or a year and a half old, and it really lingered, and I want to say he was cleared in that. But he's a punk. Eric's right. He's a punk.
I think Eric is right, and I don't think they'd be interested. Roy Helu is an excellent.
Tremendous. I like him.
That's an excellent possibility.
Now, I don't know how much he'll cost.
Because I think you could probably get him for half of what Vereen's going to get.
Yeah, I like
And
Helu.
I think that he has a lot of that skill
Say
set.
Helu.
By the way, Roy Helu out of Nebraska, similar skill set to Amir Abdullah.
Yeah.
Abdullah was better in college.
Yeah.
Janesh from Charlotte, there were reports that Vereen and the Patriots exchanged contracts last year. Maybe that was the reason they signed Bolden to an extension. They realized they were not going to give in to Vereen's demands.
No, I just think they like Bolden.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm not completely eliminating the possibility of Vereen being back. I'm skeptical. I don't think he will be.
What is Marcus Cannon going to do?
What's he going to do?
Play a backup role again.
Yeah.
He's making too much to be a backup.
Well, he's not good enough to be a starter.
He's not good enough to be making the money he's making.
Exactly.
Is the issue.
I know.
But he's making the money he's making.
Well, it's not the first time they've given a lot of money to a guy who...
Yeah, but they usually at least try to make that guy a starter, and then you find out he's not a starter. Where are they going to try to make him a starter? We just talked about your tackles are theoretically set.
Yeah.
Are you going to make him a guard? That has not worked. He sucks at guard.
Yeah, see, now, if he hadn't played guard, I would say maybe they're going to move him into guard. But
right, we've seen
sucks at guard.
The guard experiment seemed to be a failure. So
he makes starting caliber money, and he's a backup on a team that, for the first time in a while, has some cap concerns when they're trying to re-sign their guys and do everything they need to do. That's a bad contract if he's not a starter.
Yeah, they have good cap
problems. It was such a...
What's he got left, Mark?
They just signed him.
This season, to an extension.
Was it a two or a three-year extension?
3 year, $9 million, I think.
His cap number is in line with starting caliber linemen.
Yeah, I think our buddy Miguel was on and talked to us about that.
So if he's going to be paid like a starter, you'd think they have him slotted as a starter, right?
Yeah.
So
but you would think they've seen enough to know he can't play.
Well, I'm wondering, is there anything surprising coming?
Maybe he is
a tackle. Maybe one of the tackles isn't as entrenched
as
we
Solder
think he is.
Maybe Solder is not as entrenched. I mean, it would have to be Solder,
I would be really surprised.
The ball washing that Googe gave him.
Oh, I would be really surprised, too. I'm not saying.
I'm thinking more Vollmer, even
bones.
Though I think Vollmer is
better.
I think
the tackles are the most stable part of the O-line.
Well.
Or maybe center now with Stork, but I mean.
I don't think the O-line is. I mean, I think Vollmer is.
I think Vollmer's really good.
He's rock solid.
I think Stork's pretty
I think the
good.
Other four, I don't.
I think Stork's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that they're okay.
Stork's good.
I think Solder is the most overrated lineman on the team, and especially when you got Googe.
Yeah. I don't think
it's a little early to be putting Stork into the Hall of Fame. But you know.
I think he had as many times as he was on roller skates as anybody
else. He was in a Parcells line over here.
Well, no, I mean, he did okay, but.
Right. He was good.
Yeah.
I thought he was good.
But I agree with Andy in Solder, and I think that he had a really, really tough season. And I think that a lot of people feel like he got off to a tough start and put it all together. I think he had a tough season.
Well, was that game in
September?
The story's about to come out that he played on a broken leg.
Well, you know, maybe it was something.
I thought he was hurt all year.
I don't know. He didn't
look
right to me.
I said lower back all year.
He looked like a guy that just, I don't know. It just seemed like he wasn't himself.
I think he gets caught up between techniques a lot. He gets pushed around.
Oh, I thought he was guessing most of the year.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
Yep.
Guessing bad.
Byron writes, or no, Junior from Dorchester. Hey, guys, there are a couple
Apparently Byron is in his email address.
There are a couple of prospects
Lord
I
Byron.
Really like this year and was wondering if you had talked to them at all at the Combine, had any opinions on them. One is Eli Harold, defensive end, outside linebacker from Virginia.
He came out. He was a victim of the day two. He
Rule.
Came out the day after all the rest of the defensive linemen talked.
Malcolm Brown, defensive tackle from Texas. He might be the guy that ran.
He's a
penetrator. You talk to him.
He is a he's an athletic guy if they were going to go in that direction. He's big, but he's also athletic. And I was kind of focusing as much on the nose tackle types, the Wilfork replacements. But he is a top talent, penetrator, big dude.
And then finally, Ali Marpet, offensive lineman out of Hobart.
He is going to be the guy overdrafted out of Division III football.
That's the guy we were talking about earlier, Freddie.
And I'm not rooting against him. I loved talking to him. He was really interesting, Fred, and I know you like the gadgets and the technology. He did the bod pod body weight testing where they, like, float you or whatever. And they told him how many calories he needs to eat to maintain his body weight. And he has to eat, like, 75 to 8,500 calories a day to maintain his weight. And he was like, for a guy I have trouble
putting
fun
weight
on. Yeah. I know you say that.
I wouldn't want to eat.
But I think after you did it for a day or two, you'd be like, this sucks. I'm like, I think that'd be hard to do.
Yeah, if you were doing the work he does, then
I understand that. Yeah.
I think it's probably hard to eat a lot, and you probably have to really do the shakes to give a cheap 500 calories a year or whatever.
Yeah.
The defensive line thing that Andy brought up, though, Fred, is going to be something that's going to give us trouble because what exactly are we?
Yeah,
now?
What are we going to do?
I'm not talking 3-4, 4-3. Are we looking for versatile guys still that can kind of drop into coverage, set the edge, do those things on the outside? And are we looking for Dominic Easley or Vince Wilfork on the inside?
Right. I'd be looking for Dominic Easley. I think Bill might be going the way that I went about 5 years ago and said, I can get a run-stuffing nose tackle anywhere. I can get a Silver Salinga. I can get an Allen Branch. And I am all in on him if he wants to do
more.
That. And get the athletes
and Vince
to make plays.
Vince has got a $4 million bonus, I think, the first day of the league year, right?
Yeah. You can get rid of all his cap. His cap money is all new money. It's like 875 is the cap figure, and like 8.5 is new money.
All right, Mike from Arlington, now living in New Jersey, is today's lunch buyer. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break. We're going to eat that lunch, and when we come back, we're going to read his email right after this.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
Thanks for the lunch. Mike from Arlington, now living in New Jersey. He says, good afternoon, Eric, Andy, Paul, and Fred.
That was your lunch saying hello as well.
Right.
Thank you, Mike.
I got to clean my mic off.
Thank you very much,
Mike. Longtime listener and subscriber to Patriots Football Daily. And first time writing. I hope you enjoy today's lunch. It's my pleasure to provide it for you, and I plan to make it a regular effort.
Oh, good
man.
Well, we plan to love you regularly.
Yes,
you do.
I want to say that to you that all of us out here who listen to the podcast, and especially those of us who are lucky enough to listen to your show live, really enjoy all the work you do. To your listeners, you feel like good friends sitting around chewing the fat and having a few adult beverages while we talk about our favorite subject, the Patriots. I had the pleasure of going out to Phoenix to the Super Bowl, but unfortunately did not make it into the game due to a ticket snafu, which we won't get into. I will say that my experience in Phoenix was that the Patriots fans were the best in class. A big shout out to the entire PFW team and all of the listeners, and of course the PFW elite, all of you, including the regular callers, entertain us, keep us informed, and give us the best information, which in turn makes those of us who listen to the show sound like Patriots experts. Thanks for all you do, and enjoy your day. And then again, that's Mike in Arlington, now living in New Jersey. F the Jets, he says.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Great lunch. Today.
That is the only thing that could really take the show to the next level would be alcohol.
Oh, boy. That would be something.
Paul would start to slur and get rosy red cheeks.
There'd be a lot more swearing on the show if that were the case.
We have to get no socks on for that.
Yeah. Well, there's a hole in
his
beard.
Bury us all, though, if that were the case.
That would be fantastic.
You know how many beers he would drink in a two-hour radio
show? Oh, man.
He puts them away so fast.
He does.
You know,
unlike anyone I've seen.
I've never seen anything like it. You know, he'll have a six-pack
and
done.
He doesn't seem
sure
to get
appreciates this
too sloshed.
Does
either.
Not seem to get loud or inebriated
nope.
or anything.
Nope.
He can hold his
go straight to that Miller's. Belly.
He sure can.
Wow. Eric just took a shot across the bow.
What did he say?
Straight to that belly.
Oh.
He has developed a little bit of a beer belly, the classic beer belly.
Let's go back to the phones. Eldridge is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, Luke, how y'all doing?
Great.
Hey, I got a couple questions for you. Speaking of replacing Vereen, if he does side of walk, what about D'Angelo Williams out of Carolina? Because things are he's not going to be there.
Right.
And he can catch him out of the backfield, and he also can take it to the house, and he also can be a good little runner.
I'd love him.
Ridley.
I wanted him. I wanted the Patriots to get him when he came out of Memphis, whatever that was, 8 years ago or however long it's been now.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, you know, I know he battled some injuries last year, and he's had some injuries over his career, and he's coming off a big money contract. He's certainly not going to sell himself as a third down back. He's going to sell himself as a franchise back. Whether the market bears that out or what he needs to prove, I'd be intrigued with him. I mean, just based on coming off a big contract, cut, injuries, if you can kind of sell him on he needs to prove himself at a place where he can win in New England, I'd give him a chance.
Give him a chance. And, Andy, I like DGB. I saw a bunch of other
You told me a week ago that you didn't, that we had Timms and we didn't need him when I told you were going to be in love with him.
Well, I did when I saw the combine.
I know. You saw a big, tall, physical, talented receiver, and you lusted after him. You whore!
Not a whore. But for him and the guy from West Virginia, I know we're not going to have a shot at. They ran that 4.340.
Right,
and
White.
Kevin White.
Kevin White.
You got no chance of White. You could have a chance at Green Beckham.
Green Beckham. And,
I think a lot of teams are going to have their chances at Green Beckham.
And yeah, you're either going to be lucky you passed on him, or you're going to be in the Green Beckham 32 when you passed on him 10 years from now when he's some, you know, like Randy Moss on Monday Night Football against the Cowboys. You're going to regret it.
Yeah, regret as big as I don't know what. And I also like that corner out of Michigan State.
Yeah.
Like he ran.
Everyone else does, too. That's why he's going to be like a top 12 pick. He's the number one corner in the draft, no question.
He's number one? I thought the other guy was number one.
No, Trey Waynes.
Yeah, the other guy. I thought the other one from forgot what school, but
The Michigan State guy is the consensus one. I mean, listen, things can change. These guys don't know how the teams are going to pick, but most of the experts have Trey Waynes as number one, and then he ran a 4.3 something,
like
40, and a lot of people said that's going to put him in the top 15.
Yep, because that PJ Williams disappointed me. Even though I'm a Florida State fan, he looked faster on film and in the game than he did on the 40. And the drills, but
I think a lot of Florida State guys are like that. They don't seem to run as well as they seemed to play.
I'd rather they play well than run well.
So would I, and I think that's what all the talent evaluators say.
But, you know, they also have a very talented team where you say who are the really good elite players and who aren't, and sort of not that they're in the Alabama class, so to speak, just yet, but there's a lot of talent that the reason they won the national title.
Mike in South Dakota, I know everyone questions Cannon's contract. I do not. It's $9 million, $3 a year. How much of that is bonuses for playtime? Maybe Miguel has the answer. His stint at guard obviously didn't work out. However, I thought he filled in admirably for Vollmer. With Vollmer's injury history, I definitely want a guy on the roster that can fill in. My question would be, isn't Cameron Fleming kind of the same thing for less money with possibly a higher ceiling? Could Vollmer be traded?
Yes.
Yeah, I like Fleming a lot better.
Yeah. Fleming is definitely the similar type thing. Right tackle, backup tackle, could be a guard, played a little at guard, you know, extra blocker, all that, but much cheaper as a fourth-round pick on a rookie contract. And the other problem is if you're that worried that you need a $3 million backup to your $8 million right tackle, then maybe you shouldn't have your $8 million right tackle because you don't feel like you can count on him. Because now all of a sudden you have an $11 million right tackle.
And if you want to trade Cannon, I think he that makes perfect sense. If you think Fleming, all of a sudden you go through your offseason, you think Fleming is ready to be Cannon or better with right. the cheaper upside. But now you've made it harder to trade him.
Oh, yeah. I assumed Cannon was going to be let go and Fleming would turn into that role. The monkey and the fly in the ointment there is re-signing Cannon to a pretty good money contract. I don't really know why they did that.
Juve writes in, awesome to have you guys to listen to during the offseason. I was watching the first Super Bowl and can't decide which one was the better one.
Packers?
Andy, is that you on the
Packers
sideline?
Packers, Chiefs?
Bears, Patriots? Andy, is that you on the sideline? No,
we're talking about the first Super Bowl. Packers,
You're
Chiefs.
Actually talking about what he's talking. Oh.
Seriously, at the beginning of the game, they pan the camera along the sideline, and there's a guy that looks just like you.
Is this 36 he's talking about?
Yeah, I think he means the first one they won.
Yes. Oh, it's the first one in his terms was 36. Right. And yes, that was Andy.
What a great win that was. I still watch it and get emotional during the halftime show.
Well, in a different way than you get emotional for this year's halftime show. That one was a sappy,
listen to me.
You know.
Don't even start.
A couple people.
Andy still wears
Twitter.
The same clothes that he had on.
A couple people liked it.
No, a couple people told me that based on my strong argument, they went back and rewatched it, and it was a really entertaining halftime show. I was right. So I'm already swaying people.
Yeah.
See, you have a closed mind.
If you compare it to Teletubbies, it was very.
You are closed minded, so you won't allow yourself to be entertained because you're a musical snob. Oh, I couldn't possibly like
snob.
Katy Perry.
Yeah.
You are.
You don't like music. You told me there's no.
I like music that I like.
No, you told me and everyone else.
I
that
don't
listens
like music.
You don't like music.
It's
overrated.
You know what
music
I?
Music is overrated.
It is. Yeah. And you know what I allow to tell me if I like it or not? My ears.
Yeah.
Not some Rolling Stone magazine or some pompous critic or some pompous friend. Do I like it? Am I entertained? Yes. And that's what the Super Bowl halftime show was. It was enjoyable.
Okay.
There was no arrogance to it. There was no pomposity.
But it wasn't one of the greatest halftimes.
Yes, it was.
Okay. So now
is it supposed to be entertaining?
Now you're taking it
was
to
it
an absurd level.
Was it entertaining?
Not that entertaining.
Exactly.
It wasn't. To me, it wasn't at all.
I know, because you're an old fart with a closed mind.
Big Al's in Georgia. Hey, Big Al. Hello, Big Al.
Boys, how are you?
Good.
Hey. What's happening? Listen, how about we just pick our favorite Florida State offensive lineman at 32? How about that?
It's not out of the realm of possibility. Certainly, it certainly could happen. I wouldn't be, you know, there were four of them at the combine, and Irving is sort
right.
of considered the best of them because of his versatility
right.
and high end. But you know, I won't be stunned if there's another FSU offensive lineman. Not at all.
I'd be okay though with that. I'd be okay with an offensive lineman at 32.
A South Georgia kid from Colquitt. High school about a half hour from Valdosta here.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all unusual for South Georgia kids to go to Florida State, even though it's, you know, you'd say, well, Georgia, you know, you'd want to go to UGA, but it's only an hour to Tallahassee, so, you know, you want mom and dad to go to the game.
Huh.
You know, a lot of kids will go to Florida State like the Irving kid did. I had no idea that they had four linemen at the combine.
Yep.
Until... you know, was it, I think when one of the 10 or 12, press conferences, that Jameis Winston gave, he said, you know, the reason why I came out is pretty simple. You know, we got four offensive linemen here at the combine. If you were the quarterback at Florida State, you know, what would you do?
Yep. And
of
it's funny because they actually missed Stork last year. That's why Irving went from tackle to center because they were having trouble replacing Stork, the one guy who left last year. So Winston's smart. You know, you don't want to be going into a multi-million dollar career behind a bunch of unproven guys.
Thanks, Big Al.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Why did I bring that up?
Are you going to say what I was going to say?
I don't know what you were going to say.
About how
probably
a lot
not.
Of,
now they're going to argue about what they're going to say.
How a lot of there's now this talk about guys regretting not having stayed that last year. There was a lot of talk at the combine about that. You didn't hear that?
No.
What
guys?
It.
What do you mean?
I think you're talking about something a little bit different. They made some changes in the draft evaluation process for underclassmen.
Right.
Last year, there were, I want to say, 98 underclassmen. 61% of those were drafted, just 61%.
Right.
So that's over 30 people that declared early didn't even get drafted.
Right. Because of the way they were grading. Well, that had
don't just blame it on that.
They are blaming it on that.
Well, they tried to make it better so that the kids could make more informed decisions, but the fault lies in A, the player himself, and B, his advisors.
Correct.
That are giving him poor advice. But what they've done now, they used to have, and I forget all the different things, but now they've made it you're a first rounder or a second rounder.
Or go back to school.
Or go back to school.
Now, that's
stupid.
They used to be
like first, second or third, fourth through seventh, that kind of thing.
Which is the same as go back to school. Kid.
Right.
Right.
Like, if you interpreted it differently or something, that's your problem, right? Like, I have to tell you, go back to school?
Well, but some of these kids making, a few $100,000 a year is a big deal, so that's a temptation to them, And maybe they think this is, I'm not going to get any better. So
there were plenty this year that admitted they got the grade of go back to school.
That's what I was talking about. Yeah.
No. What?
That's what I was talking about. I heard that story that a lot of them wish they had stayed.
No, but there was a lot of kids this year that got the go back to school
and
grade
still came out. One guy said, just a gut decision, and I'm thinking, good call there.
I believe.
just go with your gut.
I got to check Jesse James, tight end from Penn State, but I believe he may have been one of those. I think he's got some decent potential. He talked a lot about Bill O'Brien, by the way, playing. He thought Bill O'Brien's offense. It struck me that if Bill O'Brien were still at Penn State, he'd still be at Penn State, the way he talked. But what I was going to say about the Florida State part of it, the four offensive linemen they have at the combine, that's all well and good, and some of them are really highly regarded, but Jameis Winston ran for his life all year.
Right.
And I'm wondering if they were so good. I mean, okay, I get it. Stork was a big piece that they took out, but you have four really good offensive linemen, and they didn't seem to have any clue as to how to protect Winston all year. And you watch a lot of Florida State games. That's, it's not like Utah State. Florida State's on every week. They're falling behind every game. I remember I tried to talk to Brian about that a little bit. He wasn't really having it, much like any other conversation with anybody this year other than his teammates, which is fine. You win a Super Bowl, you do whatever you want. But I just wonder how good those guys are.
And they all were very, very praiseful, not just the normal praise of a guy that was their teammate, but talked about how much of a leader he was, how much he put a lot of pressure on you to get more out of yourself, to be better, for the not only for yourself, but for the group dynamic, the lead by example and tone. And they had a lot of good things to say about him.
Yeah. Pat writes in,
unlike us,
from Agawam, a complete off-topic subject. I've taken great pride and trolling Greg Doyle on Twitter today. Seeing how he believes the Patriots should vacate their title if the Wells report comes out against them, I suggest that the Colts should be forced to release Andrew Luck since the Colts cheated to get the number one pick. Hashtag tanking is cheating.
There is zero chance that the Patriots are found in any light, I now believe, of cheating.
Oh, yeah.
NFL needs to stop digging before they dig to... A lot of skeletons that are being dug up are their own skeletons.
Yeah.
I am really where I was in the beginning, that there was a lot of ineptitude going on in this whole process.
I was encouraged, though, to see what we were talking about before you guys went to the combine about they need to look at the whole inflation regulations to begin with. And Jeff Fisher, part of the competition committee, acknowledged or was asked about it.
The problem is he said, yeah, we're going to look at it. But every year he said we have a Wilson guy come in. Wilson the maker. Mm-hmm. And we talk about these things, and I'm thinking, and it's never – the rule has been on the books since 1930, reportedly, supposedly. And you've never thought that things have changed since then and we need to alter.
Well, I think he's saying that Wilson says it's good the way it is, so they go by his recommendation.
Status is quo.
Yeah, I guess. It was a weird week. Well, you guys – last week was the week with the McNally report.
Yeah,
I mean, what was the buzz there? I mean, because that was just absolutely ridiculous. The story gets written about the guy, his name and hometown in New Hampshire is given out, and it turns out he was given the ball by somebody else
who was actually
a crook,
an actual criminal, and he's the one getting his name dragged through the mud.
It was crazy.
A lot of the guys, it's reached that point of craziness. This is ridiculous. I heard somebody say this is going to cost a million bucks or more, and nothing's going
to. Yeah, I said Goodell needs to step in and stop the fight. It's over.
But you can't, because now you look like you're. I mean, something has come from this investigation. Right. You already fired one employee who was cheating.
Right.
So, like, it's not like you found nothing. You may have found nothing in the area where you started seeking the information,
right.
But you have found that your procedures and your issues need to be overhauled here.
Pandora's box.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Definitely. Yep. Henry in Whitefish, Montana.
Hank!
With all this talk about the combine and free agency, it occurs to me we should be looking at all parts of the Patriots organization. What will the PFW team look like next year? If you ask me, it's time for a couple of changes.
Uh-oh.
Paul isn't getting any younger. It's probably time to bring in his future replacement. Preferably, this might be a chance to get someone of the female persuasion.
Yes. Same boob size, just girl.
We can use the franchise tag on Fred. No way this gig can run without the number one fan involved.
Overrated.
But to bolster the fan voice, I think signing Nick Chester to a one-year deal would be a wise move. Chester from Oregon. Right?
Paul, could you work with Nick Chester?
Eric is entering.
I don't have to. I'm out.
Eric is entering free agency.
Are you listening?
Clearly his talents are drawing interest by Rook and others. He's worth bringing back as a locker room presence, but only at the right price.
Locker room presence?
Andy, I don't know.
A locker room presence?
Andy, I don't know. I think a serious restructuring is in order. If he's willing to sign on to a longer-term deal, there's going to have some discussions about the gas and getting along with everyone on set. He is reported to be argumentative
either.
At times. Then we have to look
if you want to talk long-term, I'm like Revis. I'll take a four-year $60 million deal.
He wants you to take a pay cut.
I'm here for now.
Then we have to look at who's coming out of the draft. Not college athletes, obviously, but soon-to-be or recently retired NFL players who may want to make the jump to the broadcast booth. PFW could be a great first step. Personally, I'd love to see Troy Brown or Kevin Falk on PFW, or perhaps someone a little more obscure with team ties, perhaps Dan Klecko or Lonnie Paxton.
Well, Lonnie Paxton is successfully working.
I'm glad Henry's not our GM. That's all I can say.
I'm guessing the status is quo.
What is Lonnie Paxton doing?
He works for GoPro.
I have no problem. Can you make a change? What do you got in store for me, Freddie?
Wait, Paul wants out?
I think you'd be terminated.
You'd be terminated.
Oh.
Now, would Paul clear waivers? That's the question.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Who wants a 40-something-year-old?
The Herald would love to
fat
have
ball
you back,
guy.
Right?
I don't think so.
No?
Plus, my old boss at the Herald retired.
That's true. You could work with Ordway on his podcast.
Yeah, I'm not sure that would work out. That'd be like working with Chester. Sorry.
Right? Dan the Byman writes that.
I saw Pete Shepard's back in the news on Twitter.
Oh, what's he doing?
He got a show in New Hampshire. Arcan and Shepard.
There you go. That's what
I'll
do.
Sports or poker?
Sports, I believe. Christian Arcan, isn't that his name?
Mm-hmm.
He does.
Christian Arcan.
I thought he said he was out of this. He was.
He says a lot of things.
Yeah. Dan the Byman writes, after reading some of the scouting reports, Devin Funchess is not as highly touted as I thought, but I looked at some highlights.
No, he was highly touted, and now he's fading.
I still like him. Since both Andy and Paul were at the combine, what do you guys think of him, and what is the probability of the Patriots drafting him?
He's cocky, but he's the guy we talked about earlier. Didn't run all that well. He is Mayock doesn't call him tweeners, but he's a tweener. He's between a tight end and a wide receiver, big body. What is he going to be in the NFL? A lot of people don't think he has the physicality to be sort of a tight end type, even as a pass-catching tight end type, and doesn't have the speed and quickness to beat corners as a receiver. People wanted him to be Kelvin Benjamin. He is not Kelvin Benjamin. Kelvin Benjamin ran a phenomenal time last year. I forgot whatever it was, but he came in as a big receiver who then ran a fast time and then came into the NFL and caught double-digit touchdowns or whatever as a rookie. Devin Funchess is proving himself not Kelvin Benjamin.
Mark in San Antonio, I'm a regular listener to the podcast, but had never gotten around to subscribing to the paper. I know, shame on me.
That's okay, because the paper will never get around to getting to you.
However, I was very pleased to wake up this morning to see that my wife got me a subscription for my birthday. Couldn't think of a better present, and I'm very excited to start reading.
Mid-May, you'll get your first issue.
Why do you got to be like that?
You know what he should? We really need iPad. And by the way, iPads are every freaking where. Everywhere you go now, they just tell you
this just in.
No, to sign the thing. They've all gotten rid of cash registers.
Right.
They just and it's hard to sign with your finger and make it look anything like it's your signature.
Needless to say, I love the show. I often listen at the gym and have gotten several odd looks from the person on the treadmill next to me when I burst out laughing for no apparent reason.
Oh, no, there's a reason. You should tell them.
To the person.
Right,
person next
and you should take your headphones off and say,
exactly.
PFW in Progress, it's a great, great show. You don't need to just be a Patriots
great
fan.
Great listen.
Especially in San Antonio. They don't have a team.
Steve from...
Right? Remember the Alamo.
Oh, that
Patriots
me, by
Alamo,
the way,
they
you know, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for saying this.
Okay.
But what the league is doing is reprehensible when it comes to playing these cities in California. Oh, you know, we'll have both teams play in one stadium. In other words, you better get your act together, San Diego and Oakland. It's just ridiculous what they're doing.
Well, also, but it worked. Did you see? San Diego jumped right up and said, we'll have a they were supposed by September. They put together a committee that was going to look into the idea.
Right.
Now it's by March.
City.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
ready.
Of course it is. But, you know.
It's ridiculous on both ends. It's politics and business,
right.
And they're both dirty.
You have the Jets and Giants who share a stadium.
And let me tell you, neither one of them would – do that if they had a choice. They have their own stadium.
Yeah, I know. The Jets actually tried to get a stadium in Manhattan a few years ago. But, I mean, it works for them, and it has worked for them, different conferences. One's AFC, one's NFC, completely different. The Raiders and
– division rivals, right? If the Raiders and the Chargers
that's what I'm saying.
Play,
right. That's what I'm saying. It works for the Jets and the Giants. The Raiders and
they play twice a
49ers
year stadium.
Right.
The Raiders and the 49ers were talking about sharing Levi's stadium for a little while, which would have worked because different but, I mean, that'd be like the Bills and the Patriots sharing
a
stadium.
And it makes no sense from a – you know, they've had a hard enough time keeping a team in L.A. as it is. Now they're going to bring in, you know, theoretically two teams and ask fans to choose which team they're going to be a fan of?
Well,
it's ridiculous.
But if you're going to move two teams there, those are the two teams that have ties to L.A. The Chargers already try to claim that they are – Southern California's football team.
They have business ties, but fan ties. I'll bet you if you poll the people in L.A., you would get answers all 32 teams.
No, but those are the two teams with legitimate ties. The Chargers already have business
ties.
That's true. And the Raiders used to be there.
Right.
Don't tell me there's not still Raiders fans there.
And the Raiders claim
plus they got the Bloods or the Crips or whatever gang wears their colors.
You know, I don't know what Mark is saying, but Al Davis used to believe that no team can move to L.A. except us. We have the rights. If we want to exercise them to go to L.A., when he was alive, he would have sued if any team moved to L.A. He would have.
That's awesome.
I don't dismiss the Rams from the whole thing, and I know that weren't part of that.
Oh yeah, the Rams would be another team.
Stan Kroenke is trying to build a stadium.
Well, he's trying to do it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't dismiss them.
Now this is different than the Kroenke stadium, right?
Yes, completely different.
Okay. Oh yeah, no, the Raiders, the Raiders thing, and the Raiders Chargers thing?
And the Chargers thing is to be a separate thing in Carson.
Stadium looks nice though.
And Kroenke wants to build one, and I think it's not Inglewood, but
it's like Hollywood
something
City
like that.
Or something,
yeah, something
right there.
Yeah,
I believe it is Hollywood. I think you're right, Hollywood City.
I would like to go to a Super Bowl in LA before I die.
You want to talk about traffic?
Yeah.
No, I actually don't want to talk about it.
No, I just want to have my hotel walking distance from everything.
Yeah. Good luck on that, too. Steve and Rancho Cucamonga, welcome back, Paul and Andy. I'm extremely excited that today is Tuesday because the podcast is back with reports of Shane Vereen looking for a contract that starts at $4 million annually.
Five.
The likelihood of him gone is high. One, what do you guys think of Ryan Matthews as a replacement or if Reggie Bush gets cut?
Reggie Bush, I would take.
Reggie Bush, although,
doesn't he have an issue?
Week.
If Reggie Bush gets cut, he's going to jail.
Yeah, he has an issue.
Oh.
He might have been
the wingman for Darren Sharper.
Like, he was the one doing the actual drugging.
Oh, really?
They're not just going to cut ties with him because they don't want him anymore.
I'd like him as a player.
Okay.
That's problematic.
You don't like Ryan Matthews?
No.
No?
I never
Ryan
have.
Matthews hurt way too
yeah,
much.
He gets
and
hurt
I didn't
a lot.
Love
Plus,
him to begin with.
He's not he's bigger than that. I don't think of him as a third down back for this. I don't
know. I mean, He's not a stiff, but he's kind of jaggy, Ryan Matthews.
Also, he mentions Percy Harvin's, if he's unwilling to take a pay cut, if he gets released, I can see the Patriots signing him to a one-year deal to boost his market value, a la Mark Anderson. What are your thoughts, and do you see that as a possible fit?
If he wants to do that, then I see that as a possible fit.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be the same thing. Who were you just talking about?
D'Angelo Williams.
If he buys into that you know, let's rekindle your value. We need you for a year. You use us, we'll use you. Win a title. Everybody's happy.
Melvin's in Tennessee on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
What's up?
I got a couple of quick points. One of them kind of off topic, but I still want to know y'all's viewpoint. I think Eric touched on this, the first one last week when talking about kind of pass rusher. I still personally like the idea of a pass rusher because you may, I mean, look at the Super Bowl. Just one guy, even if we get that one guy. Look how much, you know, I mean, how Bennett affected us with that one game. Just, we seem like we couldn't block him the entire game. But let's say we do get a dominant pass rusher like that. Eric talked about this. Would you all be against moving Chandler Jones eventually now? I don't know if it's now or eventually. To the other side and then dropping Ninko back to an outside linebacker? Would y'all just not like that idea at all or what?
No, and because Chandler Jones has not been great against the run, and generally most teams are right-handed with the run, and they run to that side, and I think you might be opening yourself up to be not very good run defense on that side.
Yeah, I like Ninkovich better all around than Chandler Jones.
I
think Chandler Jones is a more athletic player. I think he's probably a more gifted pass rusher. But I think all around, I agree with Andy. I think that Ninkovich provides the more all-around defensive end play. Now, you might be picking nits, too. I don't know. Is it an outside linebacker that's on the line, off the line? You know, Bill goes through the whole thing and all that stuff. And is he just standing up as opposed to putting his hand in the dirt, as 4,811 people said this weekend? You know, I could play standing up. I could play with my hand in the dirt. That was very big for all
most
the defensive
linemen. Most fields aren't even dirt anymore.
No. Pebbles. Can I put my hand in the
rubber? Rubber pebbles.
Fred, I got a question for you since you're our football expert around here. Red line to red line.
Yeah.
What's that mean?
Absolutely.
Is that kind of like, is Nate Orchard an outside linebacker or a defensive end?
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea what that means.
I don't either. And I was wondering, don't we have red lines on our field just outside the numbers?
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what this dorky kid at the Combine was talking about.
He was asking players that?
A lot of safeties and defense. Yeah, mostly safeties. You know, your strength is really red line to red line.
And they were just answering?
Which is opposed to like a middle linebacker sideline to sideline. Like they knew what he was talking about. Sorry, Melvin. Didn't mean to hijack.
Yeah, go ahead, Melvin.
I got one last thing. You know, just being a sports fan, I was really excited this past week with the Pacquiao and you know, with the Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
Are you all excited about that or not? That's the only thing I want
to
say.
Sure. I won't pay for it.
I won't pay for it either.
It's the weekend of the draft.
What?
It's the last day of the draft, I believe.
Oh, bitch ass hoe.
I see how
are you going to pay for it?
All right.
No, but
thanks,
I'd watch
Melvin.
It somewhere. I have rich friends that sucker into
those
things.
Yeah, I mean, I would watch it somewhere, and I'll watch it after, you know, because
someone will tell
like
me
like a week
wants.
After HBO will put it on, and I'll watch it.
Well, maybe. That's part of
you'll
the
get
whole
the
thing
still
here.
Photos
because
on ESPN.
One of them is Showtime, and one of them is HBO. They might air it on both afterwards.
Well, I don't care where, but I'll watch it afterwards.
Well, most people don't have all the channels like you do as a rich person.
Yes, but you do, so I don't know why you're complaining.
But $120 million. What was the number, Paul, that they said the ringside seats might go for?
Oh,
50,000, 60,000?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
And I said to Paul.
You know, in the secondary market.
Yeah.
But you're not going yourself. So you're into it for $100,000+.
With your girlfriend,
right,
too.
Or somebody.
Yeah.
Whoever you're going with, a buddy. Yeah. Like, holy crapoli. Yeah. Like, there is so much ridiculous money out there. Like, that is stupid. Two guys are going to throw fists at each other, and it's a lock that they're going to get $120 million.
I can appreciate what Melvin's talking about. He's talking about
80-20 splitter.
You know,
I mean,
strictly a sporting event. Being a sports fan, that's a huge sporting
event. Oh, I love
event.
The prize. 60-40?
I just feel like it's
80-40 would be pretty hard.
It's done.
80-40
boxing's
split?
Done.
Oh, I thought you said a percentage.
No. Millions is.
Oh.
Millions is. Yes. I think boxing's done.
I had a stroke.
And even this one, you know, this would have been great 5-10 years ago.
Right.
Right.
Now they're both, you know, well past their prime.
Yep.
I don't know. Someone will tell me who won.
Well, what's going to happen is if boxing is fixed, I think Pacquiao's going to win. If boxing's fixed. Because I think if Pacquiao loses, then Mayweather won't fight him again. He'll just be the undisputed. Because Pacquiao has a couple losses. He's down, way down. And I think if Pacquiao wins, that's trying to set it up for another payday.
Yeah. And boxing is fixed. So
I do think boxing is fixed.
But why don't you think Pacquiao could just beat him?
What do you mean?
You said it's fixed if Pacquiao wins.
No, if it is fixed.
If it is fixed, though,
Pacquiao will win.
The fix would be to have Pacquiao
win. I'm not
win.
Saying he couldn't beat him without it being fixed. I'm saying if it is fixed,
much
that
like
would
I'm
be
not
the
saying
result.
That the Cowboys couldn't have come back and beat the Lions had there not been a call that was made.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Well,
that's it.
Yep, that's it.
Wow.
The guys are
that
back from
fast.
The combine. We probably have only skimmed the surface. We'll be back on Thursday with more combine talk, more draft talk, more free agency talk,
franchise tag talk.
Yep.
I even kept the bean pot out of it for you, Freddie.
Oh, yeah. What happened with that? All right. We'll see you Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.